been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
This is AMEN, the Alpha Male Entertainment Network. Broadcasting from Humidor 1A in the cigar city of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show, your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave. This is a special presentation of the Cigar Dave Show, America at War with the Chinese Virus. With the latest intel, here's the Global General, Cigar Dave.
Are you getting sick of being confined? Are you missing going out to the movies, going out to dine, going out for a cocktail? Taking your harem out for an evening on the town? I would say the answer is yes, resounding. Everybody is sick and tired of our home confinement or just going out for groceries, pharmaceutical supplies. But we are still about 3 weeks away from hopefully being able to eradicate the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. So we may resume our normal livelihoods and our normal activities. It is short-term pain for long-term gain. I hate to think of the fact that if we did not do this now in the month of April, and we let this linger, and then had to do this again later in the summer for a month, 2 months, the pain would be excruciating. So we'll take the pain now for long-term gain. Stay the course, my fellow alphas. We are on the right track. Hopefully the numbers will start getting better. I can tell you one thing that's not getting better. My anger and resentment towards the Chinese Communist Party gangster thug pricks. As you know, I do not spare any words against the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. I cannot stand them. I am just absolutely beyond perturbed as what they have done, not only to our lives, to our health, to our economy, not just for the United States, but the entire world. As always, I extend to you my long-ash greetings and salutations, a long-ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. We say always pleasure. I know, not pleasure right now, but we will get back to that. As always, we come to you from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City, your global five-star and alpha male in chief. And I have joining us two co-hosts. First, a co-host that has joined us the last 2 weeks. Why we keep inviting him back from his London bunker, I have no idea. We have the colonel in charge of the European Theater of Operations, Mick the Brit. Greetings, Mick.
Greetings, General, and I tell you why, because you couldn't believe how bad it was the last time I was on.
No, you're okay, Mick. Actually, you were fantastic. And the other voice that you hear, the laughter you hear, is from Voice Talent Ed, who not only is the official voice talent for the Cigar Dave Show, but WWE, all sorts of concerts, TV stations, shows. Voice Talent Ed, I know that you have been doing a lot of work around the house because things have quieted down, because many of your assignments with the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus, you can't have concerts, you can't have big sporting events and exhibitions, so consequently there's no advertising, and you're the voice of all of those concerts and exhibits.
It's a surreal time, General, and I can't believe you brought this old hack back.
No, great to have you on. I mean, actually, Portuguese Princess Colleen said she was so tired of you just hanging around and driving her crazy that if I could take you off her hands for 2 hours, that would be most appreciated.
Oh, you know it. I mean, she's been cooking up. In fact, I've got a stove full of all of the Salem's hot dogs that she cooked because I put those up at Publix. I was able to find them.
And right. They had a BOGO, by the way. Buy one, get one free, I think, a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if this keeps up, I'm gonna weigh as much as Kelly Brownell. Who's that blubber bag that you got
enemy
into?
Of food pleasure police, Kelly Brownell, who loves lecturing everybody about dieting and food and the obesity epidemic. Yet when you look at him, he's beyond rotund. And in fact, you'll recall about 5 years ago or so, maybe it was a little bit longer, at the Cigar Retailers Convention in Orlando. I'm walking from the convention center back to the Peabody Hotel. It was the Peabody at the time. I think it's now a Hyatt. I'm walking back, and there is some other American psychologist convention or something else going on. And lo and behold, who do I see walking in front of me? I couldn't miss him. His
waddling
ass was about four times the size of Hillary Clinton's, and Fallon Hillary had a humongous derriere, huge tuchus. Well, I see him, and I'm like, no way. That is Kelly Brownell. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to talk to him. So I go up to Kelly Brownell. I introduce myself, and I said, you know, you have been the subject of many conversations on my nationally syndicated show. He said, really? I said, yes. I said, we've talked about how you want to dictate how people should eat and live. You want to increase taxes on soda. You want to enact other taxes on snack food because you say Americans can't help themselves, that they need somebody to guide them. And I find it interesting that you, of all people, are a person who espouses this, yet as I look, it seems from one of your recent books that I had actually seen from the cover to now, you've picked up a few pounds. And he said, well, I've been under a lot of stress. And I said, like 100 pounds worth? And he said,
as big as a 1950 Buick.
He said, well, I'm working out at this and that. And again, I find it amazing. The ones that stand on their soapboxes, that wag their finger at everyone else, do as I say, not as I do, that tell everybody else how to live their lives, are the ones that are the most hypocritical. So I said to him, I said, look, let me ask you this question. I said, you tell everybody else what to do. Yet how can you be the role model espousing that when, by all means, you're out of shape? I said, I don't know the last time you did any exercise, but clearly, it probably not very recently. And I said, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to do a power walk tomorrow morning, 3 miles. You won't be able to go 3 miles, but how about we just go maybe a half mile? Oh, well, I'm busy. I can't do it. I said, wait a minute. I'm looking out for your health. And he said, look, I don't make any apologies for wanting to enact taxes and on beverages and snack foods and unhealthy foods. I said, well, then what's your excuse? I said, is a government tax going to stop you? And by that point, he was getting really perturbed. I said, look, I'd love to have you on my show and debate. And he said, I don't have time to do this, and started walking away. I said, Kelly, wait a minute. I said, are you afraid to come on and debate your point of view? I said, I realize I'm difficult debate competition, but I would be very polite, just like I'm polite right now. He started running. I mean, not running. I mean, he waddled is what he did, because he couldn't run, he couldn't jog, he couldn't sprint. But again, the hypocrisy is amazing. All these enemies of pleasure, the same people that espouse climate change, that the earth is overheating, that sea levels are rising at fast beyond rates that are gonna flood all of the coastal cities. The guys like former President Barack Obama, who tells everyone that the sea levels are rising. If we don't do something, it's an imminent threat, yet spends $13 million on a Martha's Vineyard estate that sits, you guessed it, at sea level. Again, the hypocrisy is rampant and blatant. All these people that love to tell everybody else how to live their lives never look in the mirror. Oh, I find it rather
General,
amazing.
General, I have one for you.
Yes.
The Scottish Health Minister, she resigned because last weekend she was pictured with her children going back to her second residence. Not once, but twice. And she's the same woman that said, do not leave your house, stay put, blah, 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 you know, lockdown. And as a result of the Sunday publications last week, she had to resign. Do as I say.
That is correct. And another public official who's defying the lockdown, the stay-at-home order, New York City Mayor Bill de Comey Blasio. You're going to love this. Telling everybody stay at home, stay close, we don't want to spread the virus. Even when you walk or if you're out and about, we don't recommend you do that. Maintain 6 feet. Well, he defied the stay-at-home order to walk in a park 11 miles away from his home. Now, I love these guys. He's one of the people saying, well, climate change, we have to reduce fossil fuels, get to a green, efficient energy program. Yet, he can't find a park or a street to walk on right outside his home. He had to go 11 miles to Brooklyn to take his daily walk with his... Have you ever seen his wife, by the way? Oh, jeez. Ooh, scary. Let me tell you, say a dog... No, not a wolf wolf. No, that is an insult to Pendragon's Royal Baron, my German Shepherd canine. Because Baron is a good-looking canine. And when I say, ooh, what a dog... No, no, that's insulting to dogs, to canines. The woman, let's put it this way, could stop a Mack truck. Not attractive any way, shape, or form. And I call him Big Bird because he kind of looks like Big Bird. He's like, what, 10 feet tall, 9 feet tall? In any event, he takes an 11-mile trip to Brooklyn to take his daily walks despite the state's stay-at-home order for non-essential business or for non-essential travel or business. But he says, for me to be most effective, he needs to go and take his walks. Okay, fine, great, no problem. You got to go 11 miles from his house in Manhattan, his residence in Manhattan, every day. Now, think of the amount of fuel and carbon that he's emitting. Again, do as I say, not as I do. Governor Cuomo was very perturbed because he criticized the laxness on social distancing, especially over last weekend. He said it was wholly unacceptable. And Cuomo's program, his PAUSE program, calls on New Yorkers to limit outdoor recreational activity, practice social distancing 6 feet away from others when outside, and to postpone non-essential gatherings. Now, de Blasio has received tremendous amounts of criticism during the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus pandemic for not heeding the advice of his very own state government. De Blasio was seen traveling to the gym on the day Cuomo called for non-essential businesses to close. And he also told New Yorkers, this is de Blasio, to go on with your lives. Get out on the town. Go see movies as recently as March 2nd, despite reports of Italian cities being locked down. Again, more hypocrisy. Hypocrisy on the climate change front, where he's saying we have to transition to all electric vehicles. We have to transition to buildings that are all green. We have to get off of fossil fuels. But he has no problem taking a 2-SUV or 3-SUV convoy 11 miles away to go walk. He can't walk outside his home. More hypocrisy. It is beyond ridiculous. But it's not surprising. We see this all the time from all these political officials. It never ceases to amaze me. Now, let me do this. First of all, for those of you that may be catching the show for the first time, I've received many emails from people saying, I have, General, I caught your show. A friend of mine was telling me you're going after the Chinese communists. Love it. So we've gotten many new listeners that have joined us. So if you want to follow us on social media, first of all, go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner. You'll see all the links to social media, our social media platforms, Twitter, at Cigar Dave Show, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, at Cigar Dave. Cigar Dave is the handle for all of those. Twitter, at Cigar Dave Show. Sergeant Steve, by the way, I've also added a Parler account, which is similar to Twitter without the speech restrictions. So we will soon add that. I will get you all that information. I have been derelict in my duty getting you that information, but I will get that to you. Now, I've got a ton of other items that I would like to get to. I've got to talk about the World Health Organization. They are a complete, utter failure disaster in the tank for the Chinese Communist Party. I've got a whole bunch of stories about the Chinese communists. I've got a story about the acting Navy Secretary. You've by now heard it. He fired the captain of the USS Theodore Roosevelt, and he flies. You're going to love this. He flies all the way to Guam and back, a 35-hour trip costing $250,000 on a Gulfstream to go talk to the troops and the members aboard the ship for 15 minutes. It did not turn out well by any account, so we will get to that. I've also got some information about hydroxychloroquine. We will get to that as well. But first up, let me bring up an interesting item, an interesting development that occurred at one of the presidential briefings and news conferences. I believe it was, it was Tuesday. Now, I do want to say this about the presidential Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus updates, the task force updates, and his news conferences. They are getting way the hell too long. They are not campaign rallies, Mr. President. You need to keep it light, bright, and tight. 30 minutes. You ramble, you go on and on, you take these reporters' questions where you get off topic, you get off track, and his popularity has waned a little bit in terms of how he's handling the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus pandemic. And I have been a frequent critic of him. I believe it is wrong for him to criticize any governor, no matter if a governor criticizes you, you rise above it. And you state, a reporter says, well, the governor said you didn't do this or you didn't do that. You simply say, look, I'm not going to get into politics here. We have provided what governors have asked us. I'm going to stick to topic. I'm going to talk about what we are doing to make sure that every city has the proper health equipment, protective equipment. We're building hospitals. Don't go in a name-calling contest with J.B. Pritzker, who, by all accounts, isn't the brightest light on the tree. Don't get into a peeing contest with any of the other governors that you have an issue with. Don't be political during a hurricane, a pandemic, an earthquake, fires, any other disasters. Your job as governor, as mayor, as president is to rise above politics, lead people, give them direction, give them a way out, give them hope. And when he gets off on these tangents, it's a turnoff. I'm a big Trump supporter. You all know that, but it is a major, major turnoff, and it's unacceptable. And he rambles. It goes way long. He does a briefing, brings up somebody for a few minutes, then he takes questions for an hour while the task force people, Vice President Pence and Dr. Brix and Fauci, are all behind him for an hour waiting. Unacceptable. And if he wants to know why the networks, the news networks, are turning off caring his task force press conferences, because he's turning them into political rallies and bash fests. It's unacceptable. Give people the information. Give a statement 3, 4, 5 minutes. Bring up Vice President Pence. Bring up the Secretary of State if he's got an update. Dr. Birx, Dr. Fauci, whomever else, head of FEMA, HHS, whomever. And then take 10 minutes of questions. Be done with it in half an hour, 35 minutes. It goes on and on and on. Now, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold this because at the news conference earlier in the week, President Trump took a question from a reporter, not just any reporter, but a reporter who happens to work for China Communist Party, state-owned Phoenix TV in Hong Kong, even though she knowingly lied when President Trump asked her if she was working for the Chinese government. Because she didn't answer or ask a question. She gave a statement. Now, why she's even in the White House media briefing room is beyond me. Why we let anybody from China in the White House or any other government building is beyond me. China is the enemy. The Chinese Communist Party is the absolute enemy. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Now, here's what we'll do. Before we do that, some sad news. Mick the Brit, I know you are a big James Bond fan. The name is Bond, James Bond. Let me hear you say it, Mick.
Roger Moore style, Bond, James Bond.
No, no, no. There's only one James Bond, and it is not Roger Moore.
No,
it's Sean Connery. It's Sean Connery. I'm Sean Connery.
You know what? I saw him in a... That actor, Sean Connery, I saw him in a movie earlier today called The Anderson Tapes. He's a bit older, and it's well worth checking out. The Anderson Tapes.
All right. Well, as you know, Sean Connery, known for the James Bond series. And one of the movies that he played, Bond, 1964's Goldfinger. Great James Bond flick with the one, the only, the original Sean Connery. Well, sadly, the co-starring actress in Goldfinger, Honor Blackman, died this week at the age of 94, and she played a well-known character. Sergeant Steve, hit it, please.
Who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore.
Must be dreaming.
Honor Blackman played the well-known character Pussy Galore, a pilot. She portrayed a pilot in the 1964 James Bond hit Goldfinger. She also played Kathy Gale in the 1960s TV series The Avengers. And she was born in Plaistow, Essex, England. Mick, do you know where that is? Plaistow, Essex?
It's just to the east of the city of London. It's pronounced Plaistow.
Plaistow. Okay. I said Plaistow. Plaistow. Plaistow, yes. Essex in 1925. Trained at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama and played Pussy Galore in the 1964 movie Goldfinger. And I'll tell you what. I'll never forget. He would always say, "Now, Pussy, can you hand me a drink? Pussy, can you do this? Hello, I'm Pussy Galore." I mean... What? You can't come up with a better name than Pussy Galore. Honor Blackman passed away at the age of 94. She was quite hot in the day. Pussy Galore from Mick the Brit, voice talent Ed, myself and every alpha. Rest in peace, Pussy.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle. Always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
The General is on fire today. He returns in 3 minutes. Until Cigar Dave resumes hosting maneuvers. Cigar Dave returns to the mic in 1 minute. Cigar Dave is back in 5, 4, 3, 2. Special coverage of America at War against the Chinese virus continues. With more, here's the Global General, Cigar Dave.
Now, I should tell everyone with the Good Friday holiday and holiday weekend, we are recording, conducting broadcast maneuvers on Thursday afternoon, April 9th, along with Mick the Brit, Colonel in charge of the European Theater of Operations, joining us from his World War II bunker in London. And we've got voice talent Ed.
From my living room in Venice, Florida.
I thought you were going to tell me Venice, Italy for a second, because had you said that, I would have said stay away.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't breathe on the microphone.
That is a good thing. So we are recording on Thursday, April 9th. And
General,
as of this moment. Yes, Mick.
Sorry, General, to interrupt, and it was rude of me. But here in the UK, today is known as Maundy Thursday.
Maundy Thursday. What is Maundy Thursday?
M-A-U-N-D-Y. Maundy Thursday. And there's an old tradition here in the UK where Her Majesty the Queen, or the monarch at the time, would give money. And it was known as Maundy money to poor people.
I don't think she's doing that today.
She's not today, sir, no. But I just thought I'd share that with you on this auspicious day.
Well, I wish you'd give it to me.
Well, the
because,
good news
you know,
is
like I told you, I did that 23andMe thing, and I found out that I might be German in name only, but I'm actually 53% British. I don't even think you know this, General.
If you're 53%?
Yeah. British.
Oh, now we're going to have to, well, since you're majority, we're going to have to call you Ed the Brit.
I don't know. I don't want to steal anybody's name. I mean, but, jeez.
That's all right. As long as it's not Mick.
I was gobsmacked by it.
Well, let me just say that the Queen is properly secured at one of her castles. She has left Buckingham Palace, and she's at one of her other palaces. Yes, of course, the same stick that is up her posterior, her ass, remains in place. Even during her conversation last week, her message to all the Brits. Yes, very nice. Poor, you know, think about this. Poor Prince Charles. Like Prince Charles now is not a young guy. He's not a spring chicken. Prince Charles is like, what, 72?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing growing is his ears.
Well, he keeps thinking, one of these days, I'm going to be king. One of these days. And every morning he says, damn, she woke up. Damn, this could be my chance. And before you know it, I got news for you. He could croak before her. She's 94, and she may live another 100 years. She just keeps on going. So, ultimately, Prince Charles may not get the chance to wear the funny crown and the although I do get a kick when they wear their uniforms with all their medals. Like, seriously? I could get one of that's a great Halloween costume. I wish I could, if I could get a Halloween costume looking like Prince Charles, believe me, it's a scary looking costume. Well,
General, General affectionately here in the UK is known as Charlie Medals.
They're known as what now?
He's affectionately known as Charlie
Medals. Oh, he's known as Charlie Medals. Okay, good. Yeah, well, it's funny. When they all wear, they dress up with their pomp and circumstance, all the medals and the epaulets from their shoulders. It is pretty humorous. It would make a great trick-or-treat. It's, you know, trick-or-treat coming as Prince Charles. Anyway, Mick the Brit, first up, Boris Johnson, as of the recording of this show, just received information that Boris Johnson has been taken out of ICU back to either a step-down floor or a normal floor. He's not in a regular room like old Decomina's, Mick. That I can guarantee you. But by the way, as you know, I know you're British, but the HHS, not exactly known as the best medical care and medical system in the world.
Not exactly, General, but you're quite correct there. But I will add this as a caveat. I was born at the hospital that Boris Johnson is in currently now.
And well, that
so
explains a lot,
mother.
Mick. That
so
explains
was my
a lot,
mother.
Mick. Well,
you
she was probably born when
hair,
it was...
obviously.
Well, she was probably born there before it became part of HHS, before it was all socialized. So, were you born there when it was socialized,
NHS.
Mick? NHS. Were you born? Were you born when it was NHS?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you were. Yeah. All right, well, Boris Johnson, we wish him well. By the way, I like Boris, but I certainly don't want him to export any of his haggis, that's for sure. However,
You know he's American, though, General. You know he's
part
American.
Yes, I know he's part American.
He was
born
in downtown Manhattan.
Exactly. Now, interesting, if, let's say, Boris was born in England and moved to the United States at a young age and wanted to become president, he could not. You must be born in the United States or on a military base, military establishment, if you're the son or daughter of a member of the military or the Foreign Service or a diplomat. Probably didn't know that. But Boris, before he ended up contracting the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus, went around saying, oh, I've gone to the hospital, shaked everybody's hands, not worried in any way, shape, or form. And I heard the audio of it, and I guarantee you, second thoughts about doing that.
Yeah.
Not advised.
I think we all were a little bit suspect, only because we know the media has a tendency to make things a little bit more grandiose than they are. However, I mean, this is serious. I mean, I've changed my tune on it.
Well, I think everybody has. There's no doubt about it. Now, Mick, one of the items that the United States, President Trump, our security agencies have been adamant about is not contracting with Huawei, spelled H-U-A-W-E-A-I, Huawei, a Chinese Communist Party-tied firm that is right now building 5G cellular infrastructure. They are one of the largest cellular manufacturers. People don't realize this. Their handsets, very, very popular in China. In fact, they were sold in the United States until the federal government cracked down and said, that's it. We don't know what bugs are in there. Huawei can deny all they want. They're associated with the Chinese Communist Party. Baloney. No company that has any level of success in China or around the world that's Chinese domiciled has any success unless the Chinese Communist Party is involved. And Huawei, the United States has been warning countries, specifically Great Britain, specifically Boris Johnson and the MI6 officials, telling them, do not enter into a purchase agreement with Huawei for 5G cellular infrastructure. We believe they have backdoor keys to be able to monitor everything. It is a national security threat, a security threat to NATO, and every one of our allies. Well, Boris Johnson and MI6 said, well, we're going to continue, go right on through with contracting with Huawei for 5G. And it was, put a lot of strain between President Trump and Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And I was very, very perturbed that our ally, Great Britain, would not heed our advice. Big mistake. Well, what do you know, Mick the Brit? It seems that British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has had a change of heart. Change of heart after the Chinese Communist Party lied about the extent and severity of the Chinese Wuhan Party, Wuhan virus. That's number one. Number two, they ordered, I believe, 3.5 million Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus test kits from China. And, Mick, would you like to tell the rest of the story, or should I rub it in?
No, you can rub it in, General. General, listen, when the Australians are also saying, hey, Britain, don't get involved with them, because between yourselves in the USA, your neighbours up north in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, we share intelligence. As a result of that, you know, even the Australians were chipping in and saying, look, don't get involved with these. This is terrible. When the Australians start saying that to the UK, you know something's wrong. And I've been a very big advocate of saying, no, let's not get involved. Also, Sir Nigel of Farage, he's also said that as well. So, yeah, you're right. But you can continue to rub it in, General. Go ahead.
Well, would you like to state what happened with all those 3.5 million Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus test kits that Great Britain purchased?
Yeah, they were contaminated.
They don't work. They do not work. They are faulty. Britain went through about 800,000 of them and said these things aren't accurate. They don't work. So all the garbage that China manufactures and China ships out is garbage. It is junk. So now, the United States would never go out and buy 3.5 million test kits unless they tested some of them first and specifically stated, if any of these kits are not accurate, first of all, we're going to do an extensive test. If not, we're not paying for them. Well, I hope that Great Britain did not pay for those in full. But because of that and the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus, Boris Johnson and his cabinet and the MI6 officials have decided they're pulling out of the 5G contract with Huawei. Huawei is now bye-bye, adios. I don't know how to say it in Chinese, bye-bye. But let me see. Actually, let me go ahead and look at Google Translate right now while we're here. I mean, I can look at it in Chinese. So let's see. Yeah. Let's look at it.
What are you going to do, Mandarin or Cantonese, General?
You pick it, Mick.
Well, Mandarin, because that is the language of the upper echelons of society there. the
See if you can translate, don't hit, let the door hit you in the ass in Chinese.
Yeah. Well,
but
I
no,
can't
thank
see.
God, thank God, I say. And by the way, if you've got a Samsung, if you've got a Samsung cellulite phone, then guess what?
Wait, wait, did you say cellulite phone or cellular phone?
Yeah, cell phone, right?
Oh, yeah, I thought you said cellulite phone. No, it's a cellular phone. Cellulite is what you see, like, women, they've got very thick legs. Looks like cottage cheese. That's cellulite,
yeah, yeah.
Not cellular.
Oh, okay, cellular. Right, if you've got, a Samsung cellular phone, then a lot of the components are actually made in China. Just saying, General.
Well, you're right, saying. And that's a problem, and we're going to have to cut our supply chains. So
yeah.
Bye-bye is Zijian. Now,
thank God.
Zijian. Exactly. Bye-bye. What else can we... I wonder if there's any type of obscenities we could put in here. Let's see. Let's see. If,
sorry.
Oh, actually...
I'm good with obscenities. I'm good with obscenities.
Oh.
Let me
write
you a list.
Sergeant Steve's got to bleep them out.
Cow,
oh,
tam en.
That's right. We'd lose our license.
See, hold on. No, wait. But not in Chinese. Cow, tam en. So remember, it's only English. And I will let anybody look that up from go from Chinese traditional to English, and you can see exactly what I just wish the Chinese Communist Party. Cow, tam en.
What was it, General? Just one more time.
T-A-M-E-N.
Let's hear it again.
Cow, tam en. Let me see if there's I. Let me see if I. Oh, it's. Hang on,
sounds
wait.
Like it involves four Kao legs tamen. And somebody's mother.
It's pronounced Kao Tamen. Kao Tamen. Kao Tamen. Now we know. The rest
I'm going to ask
of the obscenity story. All right, so let me just finish here.
Boogie.
Let me just finish this here. So Britain is pulling out. Enough is enough. Now, let me go to a reporter by the name of Yu Yu Wang. That's her name.
Come on.
Yu Yu Wang. I swear to you. I kid you. How could I make that up? Her name is Yu Yu Wang. Y-O-U Wang. As in, hold your wang. W-A-N-G.
It sounds like an invitation.
I'm telling you, that's her name. All right? Now, she asked a question earlier this week during one of President Trump's long-winded and extended task force briefings / press conference / campaign rallies. Take a listen to the exchange between Yu Yu Wang and President Trump.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Only last week, there were multiple flights coming from China full of medical supplies.
Yes.
Companies like Huawei and Alibaba has been donating
right.
to the United States
people
like
I know
1.5
very well.
Million and 95 masks. And also a lot of medical gloves and much more medical supplies.
Sounds like a statement more than a question.
And Ambassador, Chinese Ambassador Cui Tiankai last night wrote an op-ed on New York Times calling to cooperation with the United States. So are you personally working directly with China?
We just signed a trade deal.
So fighting with the
virus. It's the biggest deal probably ever made. And I hope they're going to honor that trade deal. If they don't honor the trade deal, then I'll tell you a different answer. But I think they will. They're going to spend billions of dollars for agriculture. They're going to spend billions of dollars for many different things, whereas China never spent money in our country. We spent money. We had a trade deficit with China for years of $500 billion, $400 billion. We had the biggest trade deficits in the history of the world with China. Now China's going to spend a lot, has agreed to spend $250 billion, many billions of dollars in our country, much of it going to farmers and manufacturers. So I'll let you know. I mean, I hope they're going to honor the deal. We'll find
with
out.
China? Are you cooperating with China?
I don't
China?
Know. Who are you working for, China? Do you
I
work
know.
For China
I'm
or are you with a
Hong
newspaper?
Kong,
who are you with?
Hong Kong Phoenix TV.
Who owns that, China?
It's
is it owned by China?
Hong Kong.
No, is it owned by the state?
No, it's not. It's a private owned company.
Okay, good. Okay.
Notice how reporter Yu Yu Wang phrased, it wasn't a question. It was a propaganda statement talking about Huawei and Alibaba donating ventilators and all this other equipment. Huawei and Alibaba. Alibaba is the equivalent of Amazon owned by Jack Ma, or he's the founder, largest shareholder. All have ties to the Chinese Communist Party. No company based in China that becomes international succeeds without the blessing of the Chinese Communist Party. This is all propaganda by China. And this reporter, supposed reporter, was asked by President Trump, are you working for China? You working for the Chinese government? Her answer, no, it's I work for Phoenix TV. He says, is it owned by China or private? Private. She blatantly lied. Phoenix TV is a Hong Kong-based news outlet that is controlled by branches of the Chinese Communist Party. Additionally, the CEO, the largest shareholder, is a former Chinese military officer with close ties to the Chinese Communist Party. All of their reporting, very favorable to the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. And they have, over the last several years, been used as an outlet for airing televised confessions by various detained CCP critics, most notably five Hong Kong authors, booksellers, abducted by Chinese security forces in late 2015. It is part of the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda machine, pure and simple. Now, in the next hour, I will read you an op-ed that was published in the New York Slime, written by Qu Tiankai, China's ambassador to the U.S. Talk about blatant propaganda, regurgitated pablum puke. It is it. China is on a clear path right now to influence not only American minds and American media, and many of the libstream media is going right along with it, but the world media, because they fear, they know that the world now is fed up with the Chinese Communist Party. The world hates the Chinese Communist Party. They hate the fact they are dependent on the Chinese Communist Party, and China is a manufacturing and supply chain source. It is over, and they know it. They are getting desperate. We will continue. Around the corner, we've got Voice Talent Ed down in Venice, Florida. And we've also got, by the way, Voice Talent Ed, are you in your special Alpha Cave or are you in your Super Mac Daddy studio?
I'm in my living room, actually, because I don't have a hell of a lot to do in the studio nowadays, being that I promote a lot of concert and live event things. So
well, I thought you'd at least be by the pool, Voice Talent Ed.
What's that?
I thought you'd at least
Well, no, because it's too noisy out there. I brought it inside.
All right, there you go. Nice and quiet. And we've got Mick the Brit from the World War II London-era bunker in a classified location somewhere near or thereabouts, London, UK, England. We will continue around the corner.
You need to add some alpha to your Facebook news feed. By following the General, you'll get the latest intel in the world of cigars, info on the show each week, and see what the General is smoking. Click like at facebook.com/CigarDave.
Cigar connoisseurs and enthusiasts love going into their retailer's humidor and seeing what's new, what's exciting. It's like a kid in a candy store. And we've got a great way that you can enjoy and sample fabulous cigars from incredible manufacturers. It's the Cigar Dave Officers Club. Every month, you will receive three fantastic cigars in an Officers Club Ziploc pouch shipped directly to you for $22.95. Now, in the past year, we've had incredible selections. We had the World of Davidoff, which featured an Avo and a Davidoff Winston Churchill. We've had cigars from A.J. Fernandez, from Rocky Patel, from Plasencia, Drew Estate, Sindicato, Fonseca. Incredible cigars that you will love. Become a member of the Officers Club today. Join now. Go to CigarDave.com. Click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. You will absolutely love it.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America. to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
All right, we'll wrap up this hour. A couple of items I found very interesting. As you know, I am no fan of the Chinese Communist Party. They are the enemy of America. They are the enemy of the world. New poll came out this week. 77% blame China for the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus, including more than two-thirds of Democrats. 71% say American companies should pull back manufacturing in China. My question is, what about the 29% that say we shouldn't? How stupid are they? 69% support President Trump's tougher trade policies with China. 54% say China should pay reparations. It's very clear. The attitude towards China and the Chinese Communist Party has shifted radically and dramatically in a matter of 3 weeks. Most people, when President Trump took on China, the trade imbalance, said, what is President Trump doing? He's getting into a trade war, and they're not buying our products, and these tariffs are hurting everybody. Isn't it amazing now, 2 years later, how times have changed, how attitudes and perceptions have changed? 77% of Americans, how it's not 100 is beyond me, blame China for the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. 71% of Americans say companies should pull back manufacturing from China, and 69% support President Trump's tough trade policies with China. To the Chinese Communist Party, your gig is up. You may fall without a shot being fired. And I've got some information about a good friend of mine's brother that resides in Wuhan. I'll tell you about that next hour. Mick the Brit, Voice Talent Ed, continue with me, the General, Global Five-Star in Chief, around the corner.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. With an admonishment to stay home Easter Sunday and some calming words from Vice President Mike Pence that the hope of Easter is especially reassuring during a time of national emergency.
Good Friday is always followed by Easter Sunday, and there is hope. There is hope in this moment that thanks to what the American people are doing every day, adhering to the president's coronavirus guidelines for America, thanks to the fact that Americans are listening to state and local leaders and putting the health of their family members and neighbors first, we're getting there, America.
A federal judge has ruled the city of Louisville cannot halt a drive-in church service planned for Easter. On Fire Christian Church had sued Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher and the city after Fisher announced drive-in-style religious gatherings were not allowed on Easter Sunday. Food banks across the country seeing an increase in demand, while the food stamp program also seeing a spike in applications as millions of Americans are suddenly finding themselves out of work. Food bank operators say as many as 1 in 3 of the clients they're seeing are new to the system since the pandemic hit. A couple of internet giants are teaming up to battle the coronavirus.
Apple and Google say they're working together to create contact tracing technology aimed at slowing the spread of the coronavirus by letting users opt into a system that keeps track of other phones they have been near. The technology will only capture data from nearby phones, not users' identities or their locations.
Ken Lorman reporting. Queen Elizabeth stressed the need for the British people to continue to abide with lockdown restrictions over the rest of the Easter weekend. In a two-minute audio broadcast from Windsor Castle, the Queen said that, quote, by keeping apart, we keep others safe, and she reassured everyone the coronavirus will not overcome us. Speaking of Britain, Prime Minister Boris Johnson continues his recovery from COVID-19. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking relief factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking relief factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable. To be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
Boeing says it will repeat a test flight of its astronaut capsule following last year's botched demo, considered a perilously close call by NASA.
Boeing spokesman Jerry Dreling says the company is looking to fly a second Starliner capsule once again without a crew, possibly this fall. If that goes well, then astronauts will climb aboard on the following mission. The Starliner's debut last December was marred by software errors. The capsule ended up in the wrong orbit, and as a result, could not reach the International Space Station as intended. Investigators later determined the capsule could have been destroyed in flight twice as a result of the mistakes. Jeremy House reporting.
China's auto sales sank 48.4% in March from a year ago as the economy reeled from the coronavirus, adding to strains for the struggling industry. Sales of SUVs, sedans, and minivans totaled over just 1 million units. More at townhall.com. A new case of the Ebola virus has been confirmed in eastern Congo.
This was just 3 days before the country expected to declare an end to the outbreak. The new case was confirmed in Beni, which had been nearly 42 days without a case. The Ebola outbreak has killed more than 2,260 people, second to the 2014-2016 outbreak in West Africa. John Scott reporting.
Lufthansa is permanently removing some of its large aircraft from service. The German airline says it will take years for demand for air travel to return to levels seen before the coronavirus pandemic. The company was unable to say what eventually would be done to the planes, given the lack of demand for aircraft at the moment, but it was clear they would not fly for Lufthansa again. Currently, some 700 of Lufthansa's 760 planes are parked as air traffic has dwindled. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our eight new family meals to go, like the Breakfast Combo Family Meal, loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and four huge house-baked biscuits. Or the Chicken Fried Steak Family Meal for four, with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and two large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed three to four, so try all eight. Order carryout or delivery at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Cigar City of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show, your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave. This is a special presentation of the Cigar Dave Show. America at war with the Chinese virus. With the latest intel, here's the Global General, Cigar Dave.
We are also at war with the Chinese Communist Party. Make no mistake, the Chinese Communist Party knew early on about the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP Wuhan virus. They concealed the information. They restricted the information. They worked in cahoots with the World Health Organization, the WHO. That's another story I'll get to later this hour. In spreading the lie that the Chinese Wuhan virus, not communicable from person to person. We know that's a lie. We know President Xi Jinping, President Xi of China. We know that he knew about the Chinese Wuhan virus for well over a week, 10 days, did nothing, kept it a secret, thinking they could contain this, just like they tried to contain SARS. I mean, this is the equivalent of the Soviet Chernobyl in 2020. The entire world is holed up at home. Businesses have closed. Commerce has come to a standstill. There's no air travel, no travel, period. The world's economy is in a recession, maybe going into a depression, all thanks to the lying, bastard SOB Chinese Communist Party. Now, I can't say it in English, what I want to say to them, but it's a wonderful obscenity, so I'll say it in traditional Chinese. Kao Tamen! Look it up. You'll see exactly what that means. It is my pleasure to welcome back, first up, stateside, we've got voice talent Ed his living room. Palatial living room, voice talent Ed. I know you've told me that you can't wait till the litation ceremony, but you just picked out another cigar. Hold it. We'll get to it in a few minutes, I promise.
I got you. I'm waiting.
I know, I'm sure. And joining us from his World War II-era bunker, somewhere around London town in the UK, Mick the Brit, in charge of the European Theater of Operations.
General, it's good to be able to speak to you and the good lieutenant there. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, we're in this together.
In this together, yes. I think the Queen said that, did she not? We're in this together. We shall get out of it together.
Yes. Yes, and indeed, she even quoted a line because she became Queen at a very young age. And she quoted a line from Dame Vera Lynn. We'll meet again.
Sergeant Steve, do me a favor. Yes, let's get We'll Meet Again. We're going to close out this hour. I'm glad you reminded me, Mick the Brit. I had that on. I wanted to go ahead and play that to close the show. So, Sergeant Steve, We'll Meet Again. Now, there's actually I believe in Britain they have the equivalent show of what is it, the music show, like Britain's Got Talent, something like along those lines. And there is a group, I think they're called the D-Day Singers. They're bringing back many of those. They're dressing like World War II era, and it's about 10, 12 women, exceptional. They really were phenomenal. Sergeant Steve, see if you can look that up. I want to close today's show with We'll Meet Again. That's very appropriate. Mick, I knew there was something I forgot. That's why you're the colonel in charge of the European Theater of Operations.
Indeed, General. I hope we will. And for the last, they did it Thursday that's just gone, and the last couple of Thursdays that's gone previously before them. People, even though they're in lockdown, we've been invited out to stand on our front terraces and applaud at 8 p.m. every Thursday night. UK time, and we're applauding the great work that the National Health staff do, and indeed the people that keep Britain going during this catastrophe of a virus.
Outstanding. Well,
if I may interject.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Last night, Colleen and I watched the Winston Churchill thing with Gary Oldman. What a portrayal. What an extraordinary performance by him. And today I'm speaking to you on a microphone. When you mention World War II, the microphone I'm speaking to you on is an RCA 77D from 1945. It's a ribbon microphone. And I just pulled this out because I thought, well, you know, hey, we're having a good time here. I figured I'd give a little nostalgic twist to this broadcast today.
1945 RCA microphone, and it sounds very warm and smooth.
Doesn't it, though? Yeah, there's a reason why they're still using these things 75, 80 years later. And because Mick, being he's British, and Vera Lynn and all this kind of ties together. And I'll shut up now.
Not a problem. Not a problem, Voice Condit. Always enjoy your contribution. By the way, did you have to get that microphone? Did you have worked on, or is it just the natural same exact way from 1945?
See, there's a ribbon. How these old mics work is there's a kind of a corrugated. It's almost like a little accordion. It's a slim piece of tin between two magnetic poles. And really, the technology hasn't changed in these old microphones. Although they still make ribbon microphones, but they have less self noise now. But this one, like I say, it's from 1945, and as you can hear, it sounds phenomenal. But they have to, it's a very fiddly type thing. It costs about $100 to have it re-ribboned. And I've had this thing for about 20 years in a display cabinet. And this is really the first time I've ever used it on anything. And
well, it sounds great. Sounds great, Voice Telling Ed. So whoever re-ribboned it, it sounds fantastic. Now let's talk about China, the People's Republic of China, the Chinese Communist Party. As I ended the last hour, a new poll came out, Washington Post. 77% of Americans blamed China for the Chinese Wuhan virus, including more than two-thirds of Democrats. 71% say American companies should pull back manufacturing in China. 69% support President Trump's tougher trade policies with China. 54%, a majority, say China should pay reparations. They knew about this. They lied about it. They have endangered the entire world. They are going to be responsible for decimating an economy, not just the United States, the American economy, which it was doing fantastic, doing extremely well, but the entire world's economy, because they lied, because they, and I, there's still questions whether this was the virus, the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus, whether it was released inadvertently or on purpose from a level four lab in Wuhan, or it made its way somehow from a bat to a mammal at the Chinese wet market in Wuhan. A person consumed it, and then it spread from there. We still don't know. But whatever it is, all of these respiratory illnesses seem to come from China. We had the big SARS epidemic. Yep. That was a huge issue. Avian flu. Now, H1N1 came from Mexico, from pork. But most of these seem to come from China. And as I stated numerous times over the past 3 weeks, I have a very good friend who's been going to China for 35 years, once a month. He said, thankfully, I'm not going back. I'm done. I've had it with them. Because he saw the handwriting on the wall over a year ago. He knew that manufacturing was getting more difficult, just there were issues coming up on a continual basis, getting more expensive to deal with China. So he basically started to expand his supply chains to wean himself off China. Good move. But he told me, when he goes, he only stays in 4- and 5-star hotels. He will never eat anywhere but the hotel dining room. Why? Because he said, as many Chinese have moved into the cities, gone from peasants, low class, to become middle class, as the economy has boomed in China, they still retain very primitive dining habits. And one of their primitive, disgusting, filthy, dirty dining habits, purchasing exotic live mammals from these wet markets, these live markets. He said, no matter what you do, you can bring them into the city, give them electricity, power, state-of-the-art technology, but many of their ideas are rooted in primitive, obsolete ideas. They believe that eating some of these animals have medicinal properties, and they believe in the spiritual element of eating these things. He said, ultimately, many of them are a dirty, disgusting, they have dirty, disgusting dining habits. Well, here it is. And yet the Chinese Communist government has known about this and has done nothing. Now, the Chinese Communist Party, they infected not only China. They allowed this to spread. They infected the entire world, including the United States. And for decades, China has been trying to portray themselves, the Chinese regime, as upstanding citizens of the world. They are not. They are a gangster regime. They are worse than the mob. They are a criminal organization that masquerades as a sovereign country, pure and simple. They have infiltrated the United Nations, the World Health Organization. What they do is they don't have to fire a shot. They can infiltrate the World Health Organization. They put the current Secretary General or Medical Director or Director General of the World Health Organization in power. He's not even a medical doctor, the first ever director of the World Health Organization that is not an MD. Figure that one out. I think he's from Ethiopia, Kenya, one of these deep African South, or deep country, one of the countries that is deep in the south, southern end of Africa. And he's bad news. He has been kowtowing to China and for China. The number two in charge was interviewed on a Hong Kong TV station, I think about a week or two ago. Wouldn't even answer when the reporter said Taiwan, which China doesn't recognize, Taiwan in late December reported this to the World Health Organization, and the WHO ignored it. He wouldn't answer the question. He skirted it. He wouldn't talk about China. He wouldn't criticize China. The United States of America provides the World Health Organization with 20% of their funding. The funding is supposed to be based upon population. Well, we're a country of 370 million. China's a population of 1.5 billion, yet they only pay 4%. of the World Health Organization budget. Yet, the director and the entire regime kowtows to them, lies for them. It's unacceptable. And here's another kicker. When the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus was thought to be contained just in Wuhan and Hubei province, all these European companies, or countries, UK, I mean, you name it, France, they donated supplies to China. Now China is selling those supplies back to the European countries. They're making billions off of this virus by selling masks and other personal protective gear. It is beyond outrageous. And China's regime, the communist regime, has blocked American companies with factories in China from exporting products and other personal protection gear made in China, prevented them from exporting it to the United States. 3M, perfect example. They were making masks. All the masks have been nationalized. They go all to China. Even though 3M is owned by an American company, they nationalized an American company's factory. Better learn our lesson, America. 3M, you better learn your lesson. Every other CEO, you better learn your lesson. Bring back manufacturing back to China, or from China back to the United States. Cut the ties. It's like crack. We need to send them to China Anonymous. Not Alcoholics Anonymous, but China Anonymous, so they break the Chinese ties. In fact, a ship that had just left China a while back, Chinese government commandeered it, turned it back. All those supplies stayed in China. And the leaders, President Xi and all the other top officials of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, know that they are in a fight for their survival, for their existence. On several counts, domestically, the Chinese people now are fed up with the CCP. They have figured it out. They know they've been lied to. They know they cannot trust the CCP. They are, the amount of anger and bitterness is spilling over into the streets. First time, about a week ago on social media, I happened to see video of riots in Wuhan where police were retreating and the police cars were toppled over. You don't see that in China. It's starting to change. I have a very good friend of mine, and I will not say the name of my friend. I will not say what the brother does. I will be very generic because I do not want to endanger his life in China. Because if you criticize the CCP, they kidnap you and send you away. In fact, one of the very wealthy real estate landowners in China, with ties, by the way, to the CCP, wrote an op-ed criticizing the CCP, the Chinese government. Didn't criticize President Xi by name. What happened? He's missing. Nobody knows where he is. Haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks. They are a brutal thug of a regime. So my friend told me that the brother lives somewhere in Hubei province. Been there on an assignment. Cannot wait to get out. Can't get out, though. Now they're starting to lift the restrictions. He was able to get out the information through a secure source that the Chinese people, number one, are fed up, that they no longer believe or trust the communist regime, and that all the numbers you hear about the number of Chinese who have been infected with the Chinese Wuhan virus and have died from the Chinese Wuhan virus are blatant lies. They have been underreported by probably a factor of 10. And he said the proof was in the pudding. You could smell bodies being burned, the sulfur of bodies being burned all over Wuhan and Hubei province. And he said that there is no way that there were just, I'm trying to remember, let me just take a look and try, I'm trying to get it on. By the way, Steve, we'll take the whole segment here just so you know, so you don't panic. We'll take this entire segment and we'll do the libation ceremony. Fellow Alphas at the bottom of the hour. But I want to just see Johns Hopkins. Let's see if I can find the exact number, because whatever it is an absolute blatant lie. All right, here's the map from the Johns Hopkins coronavirus, or I call it the Chinese Wuhan virus, which is the official name. So let's take a look. They're saying that in China, China had confirmed cases. They're saying the number of confirmed cases, if this thing would pull up properly, which it now is, they are saying that in China there were a total of, in Hubei, 3,215 deaths. Now, let me give you a reference point. Hubei province is 40% larger than the metro New York area. You're talking over 16 million people that reside in Hubei. Yet only 3,200 deaths, but in New York City, the deaths are 5,150. And that they're saying that in China, the number of confirmed cases in China, and let me get this because I just got out of it here. Let me find it one more time because I do want to be very accurate. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. But the number of confirmed cases in China, 82,000, but in the United States, 451,000? Please. As this gentleman said, you could smell the bodies being burned. He said there were 10 times more, if not 100 times more deaths. He said, do not believe any of the numbers coming out of China. They have lied about everything. And the Chinese now know, the Chinese Communist Party knows that the citizens of China, it is a powder keg that could go off. Remember, there's only about really 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 top Chinese Communist officials. There may be 300,000, 400,000 in the Chinese Communist Party, maybe even a million, but there's only about 3,000, 4,000 that count. You topple them, it is over. And they know that the rest of the world is fed up with China, that every country is now screaming for their companies to cut the supply chains from China. Leave China. Stop doing business with China. China's economy is dead, collapses without the rest of the world, and that is absolute fact. So bottom line, the absolute bottom line, is that we can decimate China without a shot being fired by stopping to do business with them. Cut the supply chain. Every CEO that doesn't move manufacturing out of China and back to the United States should be considered a traitor to this country. Because they see what happens. China is not our friend. They will screw us at any turn. And if we are now dependent on China hereafter, we're the suckers. We're the morons. We're the schmucks. We're the idiots. Absolutely unacceptable. Do not listen to a word. And here's another kicker. China was just appointed to the United Nations Committee on Human Rights. Now, try not to fall off your chair. China, which has got over a million, I think, Uyghur Muslims in work camps, concentration-type camps, there's any dissidents, any disagreement with the CCP, they kidnap you, they round you up, and they torture you or they kill you. They are now going to be sitting on the UN Committee of Human Rights? What an absolute joke. It shows you how the United States is the largest contributor to the United Nations, but we're the suckers. We're the morons. We're the idiots. And President Trump is right. Let's cut the ties to the World Health Organization. They lied about it. They covered for China. 20% we represent of their funding, China 4. Yet they kowtow to China? Enough's enough. We must say that's it. Mick the Brit, what's the mood like in the UK?
Yeah, it's exactly the same as it is there with you guys there in the USA. What I will say here is that now the economists are saying, well, there has to be a balance between the economy and the future health of the nation, because...
All right, well, we'll get into that. All right, but sure. I'm talking about China right now because we're tight on time. Bottom line is, China's bad news. We need to cut the ties. They are the enemies of America and the enemies of the world. They cannot be trusted. The Chinese Communist Party may very well fall without a shot being fired. I say bravo.
Get the latest cigars, hand-picked by the General, each month, delivered straight to your door. When you join the Cigar Dave Officers Club for just $22.95 a month, you'll receive 3 premium cigars in a customized Ziploc Cigar Dave pouch. To join, go to CigarDave.com.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with the peace of mind that your vehicle's in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy and Chinese virus sanitation maneuvers performed, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
That voice sounds very familiar. That would be Voice Talent Ed, who is joining us as one of our co-hosts. That right, Voice Talent Ed?
Hey, buddy. I cannot tell you how what a pleasure it is to be here. I mean, we got the band back together again.
There you go. And we've got Mick the Brit in his World War II bunker somewhere in London town.
Mm-hmm. Here, yeah. General, front and center.
Outstanding. Before I get to what cigars you are enjoying, let me first of all state that I've got two cigars in front of me. Now, one cigar I will be smoking today, and one cigar I have just placed in front of microphone position number two in an ashtray that will not be smoked today. It is a special cigar as we dedicate our national cigar, or I should say international cigar litation and libation ceremony to Mel Borsiewicz, who passed away this week at the age of 82, the father of very good friend Jeff Borsiewicz, the owner, founder of Corona Cigar Company in Orlando, with three stores in Orlando, and the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge in the Cigar City of Tampa that we conduct broadcast maneuvers from on a regular basis. Mel passed away this week, 82, and we want to extend our condolences to Jeff and his sister, his entire family. And in microphone position two, in Mel's memory, I have got an FSG cigar, a Florida Sungrown, made by Drew Estate with the tobacco grown on the Florida Sungrown farm that Jeff Borsiewicz created and tends to, that I've had the privilege and pleasure of visiting and conducting broadcast maneuvers from. And it is indeed a big-time labor of love, because it's not a labor of making tons of money, but the tobacco's coming from Jeff's FSG farm in Claremont, Florida, has been highly acclaimed. And I know that Mel was quite proud of Jeff for all his endeavors. So in Mel's memory, in Mel's honor, microphone position number two, we've got a Florida Sungrown FSG cigar that will go unlit, stay for the rest of the show. And I have just pulled out the second of the two selections that were in the March 2020 Officers Club selection that were mailed last week. So many of you should have those. If not, by early next week, everybody should have them. With all the craziness around the Chinese Wuhan virus, and there are limitations on the number of people you can have in warehouses, and separation just took a little bit longer. We hope that we will have the April selection out by late next week or the following week. We'll get to that at another time. But the two selections that were in the March 2020 Officers Club, the first was the CAO session, which I enjoyed last week. You got two of those. And we also put a CAO Orellana, which is the fourth in the acclaimed exotic CAO Amazon series. Not the Amazon retailer, internet retailer, but Amazon is in the Amazon basin in Brazil. Limited edition Orellana. It's been sold out for ages. What I didn't realize is that brand manager Doug Baldwin and master blender Rick Rodriguez of CAO, unbeknownst to me, when we talked about doing a couple of years ago one of the Officers Club selections using the Amazon basin, they stashed away a bunch of the CAO Orellana, knowing that they wouldn't be available. So I thought we were going to do three CAO sessions, and they said, we got a little surprise for you, General. We're going to do two CAO sessions for the March Officers Club selection, and one CAO Orellana, very, very limited, wrapped in six-year-aged Brazilian Cubra leaf, a very unique, dark, chocolatey, oily wrapper. It's finished with what's called a fuma and corda at the head. They take the wrapper leaf, and they roll it tight so it's got a cord that goes about an inch wrapped around the top of the head. A beautiful, full-bodied cigar, exotic taste, wonderful. Rick Rodriguez, master blender, longtime friend, did a marvelous job with it. Those of you that are members of the Officers Club, you will absolutely enjoy the CAO Orellana. In addition to the CAO session, if you haven't gotten them yet, you should get them by mid-next week. Everything delayed with this Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. I want to strangle every one of them, including President Xi Jinping of China.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Now, this is a self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine. However, what I would love to do with this guillotine, if I could make a bigger version and fit President Xi Jinping of China, if I could fit his head inside this guillotine and go, boom, like Marie Antoinette, It would bring the world much pleasure. The people of China would be thrilled, ecstatic. Democracy in China. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If only this double-edged, self-sharpening stainless steel guillotine could do that job.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
You are listening to the CCK, the Chinese Communist Killer. The Cigar Dave R&D Laboratory came up with this, one of our litation devices. You can take a listen to that thing. I mean, this thing is just incredible. This thing, I'm telling you, you could line up about 50 Chinese commies, starting with President Xi Jinping, and go right down the line, just like a fire-breathing torch. Boom, they'd all be vaporized like that. I will use this today on my CAO Oriana.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected.
Area clear of all enemies of pleasure.
Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. I will toast the foot of this cigar, and as I do, let's go to Voice Talent Ed.
Yes,
what
sir.
Are you smoking today, Voice Talent Ed, for the International Libation?
I am smoking a 1964 Padron Anniversary Edition, and the fabulous feline, the Portuguese Princess Colleen, is smoking a Rocky Patel Edge. Come over here and say hello, hon.
Very nice. Portuguese Princess, greetings.
Ah, here you are. Put the cans on.
Hi there.
Portuguese Princess, what I understand you've been busy in the kitchen. Why have I not seen anything at the Pleasure Palace? Any delicacies coming my way?
They're all under quarantine.
You what? I missed that.
They are all under quarantine.
Oh, they're under quarantine. I see. Okay. Well, they should. You could get them all hermetically sealed for my safety and still deliver them. That would be fine.
This is true.
Okay. Well, I am puffing and rotating. By the way, Voice Talent Ed, is that the Padron 1964 natural wrapper or Maduro wrapper?
It is a Maduro, actually.
My favorite.
Yeah.
Love it.
I do, too.
Oh, listen, everything Padron makes, even if you buy the regular Padron series,
you can't go wrong. It's my go-to.
And I tell people, they say, well, you know, should I get the 1964 or the 1920? I said, listen, get whatever you can get because you will not go wrong. Padron cigars, absolutely fantastic. I love their Maduros. Whenever I go visit George and Orlando Padron down in Miami, they know what I love. I love their Maduro wrapped cigars, the 1964, the
Miami
Reserve.
Best.
Absolutely. But I will tell you that everything Padron makes, everything, you cannot go wrong. But I love the 1964 Anniversary Maduro, one of my absolute favorites. Can't go wrong. Mick the Brit, what are you smoking today? And please don't tell me it's a Guantanamera.
No, it's not this week. This week, it's a humble H. Upman.
An Aceh Upman. Cuba or the Dominican?
It says Havan on it, General. What can I say?
Well, you're a communist lover, Mick. We always knew it deep down. You love those commie bastards. Uh-huh. Good. Let me get that gear. Yeah. Actually, Mick, here's the thing.
Yeah.
This double-edged self-sharpening stainless steel guillotine, if I wanted to put your neck in here, it would fit. I wouldn't have to expand this thing, okay? No. It would fit. I'm telling you.
Boom. I'm glad you said my neck and not my...
I moonlight as a moil. So you know what? Listen, Mick, from what I hear, from what the dames say, if you could find it, you could snip it. But unfortunately, they can't even find it. So it's a lost cause.
Your people are sick.
Lost cause. All right, let us continue.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer.
Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Well, I just felt a warm body of fur next to my leg. And as I look down, I see Pendragon's Royal Baron, my canine, underneath. Right underneath me. I'm like, wait a minute. I feel something very fluffy and furry. In fact, I'll shoot a picture of this. He's hiding right underneath the desk here. Okay, Baron, I know you want a cigar. You can't have a cigar. I know you love cigars and the aroma, but you can't have one. But maybe I'll give him a little sip of my libation. Now,
tough
Mick,
when you don't have
in your honor,
thumbs.
What's that, Ed?
It's tough when you don't have opposable fingers.
That is true, but I'll hold a cigar and he can take a puff with his chompers. All right, now, I've just pulled out a can that I've opened up actually during the break, and I've put it into a little beer mug here. Mick, in your honor, as they say, I have pulled out a libation from Tadcaster, North Yorkshire, England, from the John Smith's Brewery, the highest selling what they call bitter in the United Kingdom since the mid-1990s. Bitter, not bitter. Right, Mick? Am I saying it right? Bitter.
Bitter, yeah, with a T, not a D.
Bitter.
Yes.
Bitter. B-I-T-A-H. Bitter. I'm going to have a bitter, or as we say in the United States, bitter. But
bitter
is a British style of pale ale that varies in color from gold to dark amber, typically 3 to 5.5% alcohol by volume. And I have pulled out the John Smith's Original, a malty, bittersweet ale, slight fruitiness, a bitter aftertaste. So let me do this. I'm going to swirl it around, and I'm going to say... See, this particular glass that I'm using doesn't have that nice sound effect. But nonetheless, I'll say cheers. I've got it served cool. Actually, it's very nice. Very nice. Getting some sweetness on the palate. I would say the color on this looks like a deep orange. On the bitter side, IBU-wise, I'd say probably around 25, 28. Not overly bitter, not overly hoppy. Actually, very pleasant. Mick, I know this also comes aged in a cask. This one I got just in the can, but they also make it where you can get it aged in the cask. Very nice, and this is a popular beer in the UK. Yes, so tell me, how popular is this beer?
Very. Especially with Mick the Brit.
Is that your primary go-to beer, or is it Guinness?
Well, Sundays is always Guinness Day for medicinal purposes. But the rest of the week, a nice pint of John Smith's.
Outstanding. And let's ask Voice Colin Ed what he is imbibing right now.
Well I'm at a higher test thing, because in honor of Mick the Brit and our many nights that we've raised hell whenever we do the live shows, I have Grands. Scotch. And I have a little, I always like a little bit of sparkly water in wine. So that's what I'm enjoying today.
Interesting combination. Grants. We don't say grants, it's grants.
Grants.
As they say in Britain. Sorry. Grants and bitters. I'll have some bitter and some water. Some water with Mick the Brit. Outstanding. All right. So I've got my CEO Oriana that is properly lit. I've taken a nice sip of my John Smith's Original, a nice, malty, bittersweet ale. And in microphone position, in honor of Mel Borsiewicz, I've got an FSG cigar that will remain unlit the remainder of the show. Got a special way that we will end the show in the next segment that we will get to. But I also do want to get, when we come back, a couple of other items that I would like to get to. One a little bit off topic. One about a pilot flying medical supplies. There's a unique twist to that story that I will get to. And also, non-related to the Chinese Wuhan virus, but it has to do with, it's almost deja vu, as Yogi Berra would say, deja vu all over again, about a college lacrosse team whereby several members accused of something and some drastic consequences. Reminds me of the Duke lacrosse team. We will get to that final and concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show with Mick the Brit. Voice Talent Ed comes your way next.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Cigar connoisseurs and enthusiasts love going into their retailer's humidor and seeing what's new, what's exciting. It's like a kid in a candy store. And we've got a great way that you can enjoy and sample fabulous cigars from incredible manufacturers. It's the Cigar Dave Officers Club. Every month, you will receive three fantastic cigars in an Officers Club Ziploc pouch shipped directly to you for $22.95. Now, in The past year, we've had incredible selections. We had The World of Davidoff, which featured an Avo and a Davidoff Winston Churchill. We've had cigars from A.J. Fernandez, from Rocky Patel, from Plasencia, Drew Estate, Sindicato, Fonseca. Incredible cigars that you will love. Become a member of the Officers Club today. Join now. Go to CigarDave.com. Click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. You will absolutely love it.
Hi, I'm Rocky Patel. After 15 years of hard work, I'd like to introduce you to the Rocky Patel 15th Anniversary Cigar made at our factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. This cigar showcases a beautiful, oily Habano wrapper from Ecuador. Fillers from Esteli, Jalapa, and Condega make up a rich, complex, spicy taste with a lot of full flavor. The Decade, another one of our masterpieces. Made in Honduras, beautiful Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with secret fillers. It received a 95 rating, one of the highest rated cigars ever in Cigar Aficionado. This medium to full body cigar is rich, complex, yet elegant and well balanced. 15 years ago, they thought we'd never make it in the business. 10 years ago, they thought we'd never last. 5 years ago, they started paying attention. Now, we're right where we belong, in your hand. So enjoy the 15th anniversary and the decade these cigars will deliver.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
I like Chinese. I like Chinese. They only come up to your knees. Yet they're always friendly and they're ready to please. I like Chinese.
Except the CCP.
I like Chinese.
Except the CCP.
The
Chinese Communist Party. We like the Chinese people. No issues with them. They don't want to live under the rule of the CCP gangster thug regime. But that will change. All right, final minutes. Mick the Brit and Voice Talent Ed rejoin us. Here's a great story about a 16-year-old. Now, sometimes we talk about kids where they're not necessarily responsible. They're kind of slacking off. But here's a 16-year-old that can't drive. He cannot drive alone yet. His name is T.J. Kim. Lives in McLean, Virginia. But T.J. can fly. He has earned his pilot's license, flies a Cessna 172, turned his flying passion into missions of mercy, bringing desperately needed supplies to rural hospitals in need. Every week, he transports gloves, masks, gowns, other equipment to small hospitals around Virginia. He made his first delivery March 27th to a 25-bed hospital in Luray, Virginia. people went crazy, and he decided that from now on he's going to be doing that. So good for him. He's a sophomore at Landon School in Bethesda, Maryland. And so often we hear about, you know, issues with kids where they're slacking off or they're not responsible, but there are plenty of responsible kids, and here is a perfect example. Tell you what, I'm going to hold the story about the Amherst College lacrosse team to next week because I want to give that ample time. Now, Mick the Brit, you'll, of course, remember in World War II, there was a song that was very, very famous entitled We'll Meet Again, popularized by Vera Lynn. Do you remember that, Mick?
Indeed I do, General, yes.
All right.
I wasn't around at the time, of course, but I do remember it.
Correct. 1943, so actually 1939 song, but really became popular during World War II, resonated with soldiers going off to fight, as well as their families, their sweethearts. And so many of us today, Voice Talent Ed, you're not going into the office. Mick the Brit, you're pretty much stationary at home. We can't go out to grab a cocktail. We can't go out to dinner. We can't go out to a sports event. Can't go out to the movies. But there will be a time where we will all be able to meet again when the Chinese Wuhan virus dissipates. We've won the war against the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. There will be a time where we can all go out and meet again. So I thought it appropriate. As we wrap things up, I want to thank Mick the Brit. I want to thank Voice Talent Ed. Gentlemen, thank you much.
Thank you. We're in the business next month, and I've found my family with you guys.
Well, mazel tov, Ed, and we're definitely part of the family, as you all know. We will end today very specially. We'll meet again with the D-Day Darlings as we wrap up this edition of the Cigar Dave Show.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when.
That concludes today's live Cigar Dave show. Stay tuned as the replay will begin momentarily. Sit back, relax, and light up a cigar.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. New York City's 911 call system is being overwhelmed by coronavirus calls.
Operators pick up a call every 15.5 seconds. Panicked voices tell of loved ones in declining health. The system is so overwhelmed, the city has started sending text and tweet alerts urging people to only call 911 for life-threatening emergencies. The fire department said it has averaged more than 5,500 ambulance requests each day, about 40% higher than usual, eclipsing the total call volume on September 11, 2001. The fire department said response times for the most serious calls have been averaging more than 10 minutes, up from 7 minutes normally. Patrick Frost reporting.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear wants people to stay home even for Easter services, but he says if they do violate the state-mandated stay-at-home order and go to church anyway, they'll be subjected to a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Government says license plate numbers will be recorded at mass gatherings. That information turned over to local public health officials who will deliver the quarantine notices in person. Vice President Pence says he appreciates all the Christians who will be celebrating Easter at home this year instead of at church.
To my Christian brothers and sisters across the country, let me encourage you with the words. We should all remember that Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered, there he is also. And so you can worship, you can celebrate Easter, and know that you'll be blessed in so doing. And you'll be serving the nation.
Republican Senator Tim Scott says President Trump's doing a good job of handling the coronavirus, partly because of a long list of great advisors.
But I'm thankful that our president has surrounded himself with really powerful advisors, from Dr. Fauci to Dr. Birx to Vice President.
Scott talked with the Salem Radio Network about his new book, Opportunity Knocks. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking relief factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking relief factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable. To be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
Overseas, a couple living in Rome, Italy, were married recently, despite the city remaining in lockdown status due to the coronavirus. We get the latest on the story from correspondent Zara Shackley.
Donned in masks, the couple tied a knot at the deconsecrated Santa Maria in Tempolo Church. A Rome City Hall official presided over the ceremony. He also wore a mask and protective gloves. The couple had booked the wedding a year ago, planning for the groom's family to come to Rome from Naples for the big event. Despite the nationwide lockdown, which has forced all but essential businesses to shut, Rome's City Hall has made an exception. It's allowing civil wedding ceremonies to go ahead for those who booked before the virus started. The couple had to limit the guests to two, the maid of honor and best man. I'm Zaria Shakili.
And you can check out more breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Face shields are being printed at an Air Force base to help against the spread of the coronavirus.
Delaware's Dover Air Force Base is using 3D printers to make face shields to protect against the spread of the coronavirus. The U.S. Air Force said in a press release that more than 70 face shields were printed by a team of airmen at its innovation lab. The lab, known as Bedrock, can produce up to 20 face shields each day. The shields are made of a plastic that's chemically resistant and reusable. The shields include a thin plastic visor as well as an elastic headband. Master Sergeant Justin Pittman says the team making the shields functions like a well-oiled machine. Keith Peters reporting.
A $41 million contract awarded for the construction of a new aircraft maintenance hangar at Dover that will allow maintenance to be performed in any weather on the C-5 Super Galaxy and the C-17 Globemaster III. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
In 30 seconds, enjoy. Radio studios in New York City. Information you want, truth you demand. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show and a very important Wednesday edition of the big broadcast. Secretary of Homeland Security, HHS Secretary Alex Azar will be with us in about 15 minutes. He's going to tell us the latest on the fight against the virus that has plagued 180-plus countries, including ours. And Daryl Issa, he wants to be the replacement for Duncan Hunter in San Diego. He gave up a seat in Southern California but wants to go back and help out that Republican, pretty much Republican district. And Gary Sinise, the humanitarian, outstanding actor, producer, he's going to be with us here talking about what the Gary Sinise Foundation is doing to battle COVID-19. But right now, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
The big banks are now engaged in this. The early returns show tremendous participation by the smaller community banks. All these banks qualify. All these banks.
Yeah, that is Larry Kudlow on with us yesterday. Financial aid is here, but for small business and the unemployed, there's fundamental problems with getting it, with using it, and doing what we want with it. Sustaining our business, for example. I'll explain what's really happening on the ground.
Number two.
The question should be not just when do we go back, but how can we go back? And there's ways to get like 90% of our lives back through tracing people that have had it and testing. I do believe there are ways to do this.
Yeah, I do too. Bill McGurn, Wall Street Journal. Back to work, back to school, what we need to do to make it happen, and the risks of going back too fast.
Number one.
How do you start the economy back up? How do you start getting back to work as quickly as possible? It's going to come down to testing. Department of Health developed an antibody testing regimen for use in New York State.
That's what we need, a way to find out if you're immune so you can get back to work, back to school, back on the job. Bending the curve, signs that there is hope in New York and New Jersey that we have plateaued, and it's projected that New York moves ahead. Antibody testing is on the docket, blood plasma treatments right around the bend. So that's what we can look forward to. Not waiting for a cure, Gary Sinise helping out the first responders online. The Oscar-nominated actor, founder of the Gary Sinise Foundation, who's an outstanding musician in his own right with the Lieutenant Dan Band, and author of Grateful American, a bestseller, A Journey from Self to Service. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Brian. It's good to talk to you, bud.
Gary, we've all been sidelined, especially you in the creative world. Can't go do a movie, you know, can't go do a performance, all the creative people. But the foundation means so much to you. What have you done to put the foundation into motion?
Yeah, well, we had, you know, early on we saw that kind of suspending a lot of the work that we do around the country was going to be necessary. We do a lot of events around the country. Of course, my band goes to military bases and plays. We have different events that we're constantly doing, and that requires a lot of travel. And when travel started becoming an issue, we had to suspend all of that. So we went into kind of the work at home mode, like everybody else, and we developed a campaign to address COVID-19 called our Emergency COVID-19 Combat Service. We have that up at the Gary Sinise Foundation website, and we're supporting first responders, frontline workers, healthcare workers, Gold Star families. I mean, you name it. Everybody who's been impacted by having to stay home from work or go to work because they're a first responder and they're needed out there. Everybody's impacted, so we're trying to make a difference. And we have this brand new emergency campaign up at the foundation website. We're operating all over the country doing all kinds of things.
So I know you've donated like 4,000 pieces of equipment to first responders across the country, protective gear, and key sterilizing equipment over to Arizona in particular, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, those are just a few of the things. I mean, you have people affected, obviously, all over the country in small towns and big cities and whatnot. And folks, you know, we supply a lot of equipment and support to small fire departments and first responder units all over the country who just don't have access to funds. I mean, most of the fire departments in this country are volunteer fire departments.
I know.
They don't have big budgets coming from their city government or anything like that, so they're reliant on, you know, people supporting them. And so we're able to now, and certainly they don't have a lot of the equipment necessary to fight COVID-19. So we're providing a lot of that equipment support. We've supported over 45 departments so far. We've provided over $200,000 worth of personal protective equipment. We're supporting in various ways. You have people that are losing their jobs. Let's say there's a Gold Star mother who has lost, you know, her husband. Is the primary caregiver and provider for the family. The kids all now have to stay home from school, right? All the schools are closed. So the mother has to leave her job, doesn't have, you know, has a lot of bills to pay, trying to support those kids. They're all staying home. So we're processing emergency relief grants at the Gary Sinise Foundation from a lot of our Gold Star mothers and families just to help them through this difficult time. Lots of things going on.
Not only that, they become teachers too. Now they're expected, especially in public schools, they just get assignments. There's not a big, you know, for the most part, there's no video component. There's no Zoom or Google Hangout for a lot of these kids. So you got to sit there and interpret your sixth grader's homework with them, or fourth grader, or second grader, or kindergartner. So there's a lot of stress. Gary, how do you weed through all the need?
Well, we have a tremendous team. Like I said, we have a very large events department where we're supporting World War II veterans, we're supporting Gold Star families, we're supporting active duty first responders, all of that. With all the travel shut down and our suspension of a lot of that, we've shifted our departments over into our outreach department. We have a lot of team members that work in our outreach department processing requests. Well, now that our events department has to suspend a lot of their activities due to our suspension of travel, a lot of the events department is working in the outreach department processing multiple grants that are requests that are coming in for assistance. Everyone working from home, of course. We've shut down our offices like so many have. Everyone working from home and pulling together to do the right thing. The Gary Sinise Foundation is you know, we operate on multiple levels. We have multiple programs and multiple services that we provide. Now we have, you know, we're part of the fight on COVID-19. You can go to the Gary Sinise Foundation website, GarySiniseFoundation.org, and look at our Emergency COVID-19 Combat Service Initiative, and you can support there to help healthcare workers, first responders, police officers, whatever. We're doing what we can. We even, you know, let's say you've got police officers. We had an effort here in Los Angeles where you have these police officers that are coming in, and they're staying away from home. They're all sleeping in a big spot. They put cots in there, and the officers are staying in there. They can't go to a barber to get their hair cut or, you know, keep their shoes shined or whatever. And who would have thought, you know, that, you know, providing, you know, barbers to go in and help these police officers would be a really positive thing. Well, that's one of our efforts that we've done. We provided a whole bunch of barbers just to go in and take care of the officers so that they can get back out in the field and do their job.
Dry cleaning as well as access to food over at Legion Park in Los Angeles. Gary Sinise always in action. His mission is always in action as he waits to get back to do his full-time job. That's producing, acting, and starring in major productions. Gary, thanks so much for checking in with us. We appreciate it, and we'll continue to talk to you and maybe talk to you on Fox and Friends tomorrow.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much, Brian. I say and to everyone out there, be safe, be careful, God bless, and we're going to get through this.
And if you want to give to something that's worthwhile, the Gary Sinise Foundation won't let you down. Gary, thanks again.
Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
You got it. Coming up next, a man in the middle of this fight, HHS, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. What's next? Are we turning the corner? We'll find out when we come back.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
It is shocking that your home can be stolen this easily. Let me share a true story. Deborah learned that brutal lesson when thieves found the title to her home online. Then they forged the documents to appear she sold her home, but she hadn't. Then they borrowed thousands using her home's equity. Deborah didn't know she was a victim until foreclosure notices arrived and an eviction notice followed. She spent her fortune trying to get her home back. The crime is home title fraud, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. The best advice for avoiding a title fraud nightmare is to protect your home with Home Title Lock. And no, neither your homeowner's insurance nor bank protects you. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock does. So first things first, find out if you're already a victim of home title fraud. Register your home at HomeTitleLock.com and enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection. Again, enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
New Orleans Saint quarterback Drew Brees and his wife Brittany make today's Dean's List for donating $5 million to the state of Louisiana to help families during the coronavirus pandemic. The NFL legend wrote on Instagram, "The priority now is helping our communities get through this tough time." The Brees family will be working with a handful of organizations and companies to provide 10,000 meals per day for as long as it takes. Drew says, let's do our part, maintain hope, and get through this together. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards said on Twitter, we are grateful for your family's support and generosity through this trying time. Drew joined the Saints in 2006 and was named Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 2010 for his work supporting New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. He also received the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award for his charity work in 2006. Thank you, Drew Brees, and your family for helping others in this time of need. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
American playwright Tennessee Williams, who grew up in the Deep South, died in 1983. He won the Pulitzer Prize for drama for A Streetcar Named Desire in 1948 and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1955. Here, Tennessee Williams explains where he gets the inspiration for his character development.
I've always been more interested in my own kind of people, you know, people that have problems, people that have to fight for their reason, you know, the people that to whom, you know, the impact of life and experience from day to day, night to night is difficult, and people who come close to cracking and all that. That's my world. Those are my people. And I must write about the people I know.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile on Christian singer Jeremy Camp. The new faith-based film, I Still Believe, is inspired by Jeremy's real-life love story with his first wife, Melissa, who died just 4 months after they got married. The film follows their story and how Jeremy deals with his grief, finding his faith tested. Jeremy shared advice from what he learned for those grieving who may be losing their faith.
Don't give up, because, you know, I had moments where I wanted to give up.
Camp also spoke about what he hopes audiences can take from the film.
That no matter what you're going through, that there is hope and there is something greater than yourselves. And I think for me, I'm wanting to point people to what God did in my life. And not everyone maybe will run to that, because I understand that. But if that's been my comfort, why would I not want to tell people about that? This is what I ran to. So if you're going through hardships, run to God. He's everything you need. You know what I mean? And so I think that people are wanting something real and authentic, and that's what it is.
I Still Believe is available on demand now. Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
The Inspector General for the Department of Health and Human Services released a report today, a survey of more than 300 hospitals across the country, and the number one complaint from those hospitals were severe shortages of testing supplies and long wait time. I mean, it's a week wrong. Or longer.
Did I hear the word Inspector General? Really? It's wrong. And they'll talk to you about it. It's wrong.
Well, joining us now, a man that will talk to us about it, and a survey of 300 hospitals was completed 2 weeks ago. The four-star admiral is just as upset as the president with the question, not happy with the conclusions. What about HHS Secretary Alex Azar? Mr. Secretary, welcome back. What is your answer to the Inspector General's report that was thrown at the president?
Yeah, well, Brian, first, it's good to be with you and your listeners. So our Inspector General's office here, you know, they act independently, and they did a phone survey. They picked up the phone, and they called out to 300 hospitals around the country, and, you know, I guess big surprise, they heard from hospitals saying that they'd like more stuff. It is what it is. That's exactly why the president has since January been mobilizing the whole of government to increase our supplies in this country of personal protective equipment, of ventilators, of testing supplies. And we're making huge progress. We're getting that where it needs to go. It's getting to New York. It's getting to Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, Boston. And we're getting personal protective equipment. We're getting ventilators there. We're getting mobile hospital units. We're getting public health and Defense Department staffing of those mobile hospital units. So the system really is working here, and it's delivering where it's needed most. So I think that's what the focus ought to be on is and we're delivering tests. Good Lord, we're over, I think, 1.8 million samples have been tested in the United States. We're testing over 100,000 samples every day and increasing with that, more than any other country, I believe, has done. So, you know, making real progress.
I understand. And believe me, the last thing you need is another critic. We're all on the same page. But I just want to bring up the issues that are going on. And that's what the president's dealing with. And that's what the admiral was dealing with this morning. But in the big picture, I love this. States helping states. Oregon sending ventilators to New York. California is sending ventilators to FEMA. What would you prefer? States talking to states or going through the clearinghouse, which should be the federal government? What do you think?
Well, Brian, we're working with them. So those are the great actions of Washington and of Oregon and California, you know, sharing supplies and ventilators as they get their situation more under control. That's not happening in a vacuum. FEMA is actually working as a traffic cop here, coordinating all of this, working with the state to make sure they know where the need is most. So, you know, if we can make the shipment direct that way, that's perfect. But we really appreciate what those governors are doing. But it's all happening under the architecture President Trump and Vice President Pence are leading and set up under FEMA to coordinate this across not just the whole of government, but the whole of economy.
Yeah, so you're regardless when this comes to an end, Mr. Secretary, you want to build a stockpile so this never happens again. And you've announced a ventilator contract with GM under the Defense Production Act that's going to get you 30,000 ventilators for a cost of $48.9 million. I guess maintaining and storing them is going to be key so they're ready to go when you need them. But is this part of the long term in the middle of this pandemic?
Absolutely. So, you know, the national stockpile that we have, it's important, and Brian, you'll get this because, you know, you appreciate the private sector. In the United States, we buy about $1 trillion a year of medical, surgical, and pharmaceutical supplies. The strategic national stockpile is only funded to buy about $500 million of product a year, and that usually has been focused on bio and chemical countermeasures like smallpox vaccines, things that only the government would buy. We've often had, you know, masks and ventilators and surgical and mobile hospital units really just for a small regional dislocation like a hurricane or a tornado hitting. This is a very different mission set for that stockpile, and that's what the president and vice president since January have been leading, is bulking that up now to be a surge for the whole country, which no administration ever thought to do.
Mr. Secretary, will you be part, if there's a second task force, would you think that would be something you should be a part of? And that task force would consist of a mission of what it would look like to stand up the economy again?
Well, I don't know about a task force, but I can tell you I'm devoting a large percent of my personal time actually on that. The president and vice president and I and other cabinet leaders and Dr. Birx are actually very active on exactly that work, which is how do we get this economy back working again? How do we get people back to work and do it in a titrated, smart, focused way that protects public health but gets this country working again?
Right. And to do that, we got the immunity test people are talking about, temperature tests as they walk into buildings, certified that you don't have it or have had it. What do we look like? We got used to the new normal after 9/11. What do you think we should be getting used to as we work, find our office, work our way back into restaurants and offices?
Yeah, so it's going to depend really, Brian, on the disease progression to see, do we see it basically drift off and go away, or do we deal with sort of a series of spikes, flattened curves, decline in communities? And that's sort of what that new normal is going to look, is going to depend on what we're seeing there. Do we see a second wave of hot activity in the fall? And by then, we would hope to have therapeutics available for individuals to make the burden a lot easier on folks. But as you mentioned, one of the key elements for the Moving Forward program, both in terms of surveillance and getting people back to work, is likely to be what you call serology testing. So that's testing somebody's blood to see, have you built up antibodies against this virus? You know, we do that for measles. That's, you know, if you ever got a measles booster, what happened is your doctor took a blood draw and they saw, do you have enough measles antibodies left in you, or do you need a booster to kick that back up again? And that's going to be a key part of the future. And that's where I just was in a lengthy meeting of our whole across HHS team on getting serology testing out there, validated by the FDA and the NIH. Because, you know, there's some serology tests out there that will tell you if you've had, that could tell you if you've had the virus. But right now, those, other than one of them, have not been validated by the FDA. And so we're working to get high throughput, big, reputable operators validated and out there.
Right. So if I want, if Mr. and Mrs. Jones want to get one, we can't get one yet. Would you foresee that happening?
Very soon, absolutely. That's that is one of our key priorities, is to be getting that kind of serology testing out there, so folks will know if they've had it, you know, and were asymptomatic, for instance, and then if they are still showing a level of antibodies in their system that could provide protective immunity.
If I want to get that 15-minute test, where do I go?
So the 15-minute test, I assume you're referring to the rapid diagnostic test, right, Brian?
Yep.
Yeah.
From Abbott?
So that's the Abbott test. Those Abbott tests, there are over 18,000 of them around the country. You know, some of them are in pharmacies. Some of them are in, mostly they're in doctor's offices. You know, this is the equipment that you would get a flu test or a rapid strep test on. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary. Appreciate all you're doing.
It's a very confusing and stressful time right now, especially for our wounded and ill veterans and their caregivers. Practice social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and stay at home to avoid exposure. If you don't have symptoms or have questions, use secure messaging through My Healthy Vet or the VA Telehealth Service. If you develop symptoms, please call your local VA facility. We will get through this. For more details, visit va.gov/coronavirus.
This is a community and a geography starkly split.
Fox Nation takes you back inside the fight that has spanned over a century and defined a region. Now, Pete Hegseth returns to the Holy Land, exploring new ground on both sides of the disputed border.
I wish Arabs and Jews could live together.
We used to be exactly the same.
Learning that this fight is more personal than we think. Don't miss Season 3 of Battle in the Holy Land. Available now, only on Fox Nation.
This is House Call for Health. Three developments that could change our thinking about the coronavirus. The first has to do with ventilators that are in such high demand at hospitals. Some doctors in New York say they're trying to keep very sick patients off of ventilators for as long as possible and use less invasive techniques to make sure the patient has enough oxygen. There's no firm evidence, but some experts suspect that in some cases the ventilator could make things worse, perhaps by increasing a dangerous response by the patient's immune system. The second development is about warm weather and the hope that the virus spread will die down in the summer. Some members of the National Academy of Sciences say, so far, the evidence just isn't there. And finally, a new study says smoking could make it easier for the coronavirus to enter the lungs and do its dirty work. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
With coronavirus still spreading, people at higher risk must take extra precautions. You're at higher risk if you are over 65 or if you have any serious underlying medical conditions like heart disease, chronic lung disease, diabetes, or if your immune system is compromised for any reason. If you're at higher risk, wash your hands frequently with soap and water for 20 seconds. Avoid touching your face. Disinfect frequently touched objects. And wash up after being in public spaces. And when it comes to social situations, less is better. Stay 6 feet or 2 arm lengths away from other people. Better still, stay home if you can. If you're sick, please stay home and away from others. And if you think you've been exposed to the virus, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. In challenging times, the choices you make are critical. Please visit coronavirus.gov for more information.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On March 5th, 1946, Sir Winston Churchill gave his famous Iron Curtain speech at Westminster College in Missouri. The speech was deemed by many to mark the onset of the Cold War.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere. And all our subjects, in one form or another, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high and in some cases increasing measure of control from Moscow. This is certainly not the liberated Europe we fought to build up.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
New York City Police Officer Nicholas Teresi and Police Officer Joseph Fager make the Dean's List for helping deliver a baby during this coronavirus pandemic. When the two officers from the 47th Precinct arrived at the address in the Bronx, they found a woman in the bedroom close to giving birth, so they radioed for an ambulance. Unfortunately, emergency medical service paramedics were all busy, and the dispatcher was unable to estimate when the ambulance might be available. So the officers jumped in and helped her push when the contractions hit. The baby girl came into the world in Officer Teresi's hands. He says he's never experienced anything like this and was kind of in awe. The officer saw that the umbilical cord was wrapped around the baby's neck, but they quickly resolved the problem. Officer Teresi said the baby let out a big cry. Thanks to both officers, mom and baby are doing just fine. You all made the Dean's List. Candace Dean, Fox News.
Show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
We're also speeding economic relief to our people. It's incredible. We just had a meeting that was absolutely incredible with the banks. I spoke with leaders in the banking and finance industry about our efforts to help American workers and employers. As of today, small business has processed more than $70 billion in guaranteed loans and will provide much needed relief for nearly a quarter of a million businesses already.
That is the president talking about the rescue plan three, and they're probably working on a fourth. But on the execution level with banks, on the execution level with business owners, it is projected having some hurdles and some pitfalls. Joining us now, Darrell Issa, who has success in the military, business, and now in Congress, and wants to be representing another district in California. Joining us now officially, Congressman Issa, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on, Brian, and thanks for covering the virus in a much more expansive way. I really appreciate the way you're putting the time into telling people more than just what the current count is, because I think there's so much more people that are forced to stay at home want to know about where they're going to be in 30, 60, or 90 days.
You also know what it's like to have a business, and for no fault of your own, I hope it didn't happen, but if it did, you get it shut down. The revenue's not there. The government says they're going to set you up. And in theory, this is a revolutionary program. You show up at a bank, the one you choose, and you can get up to a $10 million loan as long as 75% of it is going to go to payroll. Well, in New York, I'm talking to business owners. They go, excuse me, if I give 75% to payroll, I'm not going to be able to pay my lease and my lights and for my equipment when it comes to health clubs, for example, or restaurant equipment. So the idea is great. The execution could be off. You know what it's like to change a government program. How do you get in there and augment it?
Well, a lot of it's going to have to be done by unanimous consent. Congress is going to have to say to the administration, we're going to give you rulemaking authority that allows you to work with the banks to make sensible changes so it fits the business model that actually puts people back to work. Remember that there are two things you can do with this money. You can pay people to stay home, which has zero productivity but is safe.
Yep.
Or you can pay them to come back to work, even though the productivity may be less, but our economy keeps moving. But there is inherently, the more we move around, a little bit more risk that we're going to spread the virus. That's what we're balancing economically, but it's also what we're balancing from the healthcare system. And the president, I think, is doing a great job, particularly considering the mixed messages he gets from the healthcare community.
Hopefully. But, you know, he is counting on his Treasury Secretary to implement a lot of these things, and Marco Rubio, running the chairperson of the small business in the Senate, to do some of these things. So you can't be, you know what it's like to run a, you can't be micromanaging all this stuff. Are banks showing the cooperation in 2020 that we showed them in 2008?
They are, and particularly the small community banks. The president, well, recognizing that, for example, B of A has already issued 10% of the $350 billion just in the first few days. The mega banks are stepping up. But in many ways, for the small town individual, particularly when, let's say, Wells Fargo, which had to shut off at $10 billion, when they stopped taking loans, community banks picked it up, and they're doing this all remotely. They're doing it quickly. So we are seeing a resurgence of particularly, I'm proud of the community banks. No dig on the big banks, but, you know, doing a small, especially these first, I need $10,000 and I need 4 weeks or 8 weeks of payroll. This sort of quick action is critical, and I just think that the industry has done a lot, and it is a different part of the industry than it was with the mega dollars, much of it going overseas in 2008 and 2009.
Yeah, true. Congressman, what do you do in this situation? You get the money, you pay your payroll, you pay your lights, but you can't, let's say you have trouble paying your lease. And the guy who owns the lease in the strip mall where you have your storefront says, well, I got a bank breathing down my neck. Who's going to pay me? Well, if the bank has to be cajoled not to breathe down the person's neck, they can't also continue to run up the tab when they finally, we get our economy back going. What could get, what could decrease the pressure on the banks, not the pressure on the landlords, to not pressure the renters?
Well, this is where Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, along with the Fed, flooding the banks with low-cost money, is encouraging them to do just that, to work with their mortgages, to give them special treatment, either low or no interest for the next couple of months so that they can carry it. Because each part of this chain, the person who sells you a piece of pizza, but the rent that they pay to where they sell it from, to the mortgage that's paid by the owner of that, to the bank, each part of that chain has to be kept healthy. And although we can keep it healthy for a little while by flooding the market with money, in the long run, the only health we can have is at that beginning. You got to buy the piece of pizza again. You've got to be back to productivity. And the parts that are productive right now are not carrying our economy. And I'll just give you a quick example, Brian. If you're driving an automobile or taking any transportation, it's being maintained because in most places that's considered essential. So you take your car in and they fix it. But yep. The parts manufacturer that's making those repair parts you need, he is shut down. And so if the chain of parts, which is always just in time, is beginning to dry up, then productivity eventually in what we consider essential, the parts that are still working, are going to stop. The same is true in construction. If they're building and you know, for example, these new temporary housing structures, they're putting them together. But what if nails, as they are not being produced? Well, if we're not producing nails and screws, then at some point, those essential things like building hospital structures aren't going to be able to be done. So there is a upstream necessity.
Yes.
In the foreseeable future, to find a way to get people back to productivity, because otherwise the supply chain we demand and live with will disappear.
I just got a quick note. Bernie Sanders dropped out, spending his campaign. We all knew he's not going to win, but now it's official. I just want to inform everyone on the political process, as Joe Biden and President Trump spoke a couple of days ago. But I want to see, you're very concerned about the economy. Everybody I know is. Everyone's worried. They don't know what standing up our economy looks like. It's going to be probably incremental. But I want to see if you agree with economist Stephen Moore, Cut 35.
But I got to tell you this loud and clear, Laura. The American economy, our $20 trillion economic engine, is in the intensive care unit right now. It's like it's on life support. And you look at what's happening with, you talked about millions of businesses that are affected. I'm here to tell you, if we don't get this economy opened up in the next 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to see these businesses never come back. They are going to be wiped out. There's now projections, Laura, of unemployment in the United States of 40 or so million people at the 30% unemployment rate. That's worse, Laura, than we saw during the depths of the Great Depression.
So, I mean, there's nothing he said that's really inaccurate or hyperbole. Do you agree?
Larry Kudlow, Stephen Moore, Art Laffer, Daryl Issa agree 100%. This is the question we have is, have we backed into the Great Depression in which we had a 25% unemployment and Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried to use basically money instead of real jobs to get us out of it? At the end of the Great Depression, as World War II kicked in, we learned that real jobs get you out of a depression. And so in this case, whether or not it's 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 2 weeks that that we have before we put ourselves into a deep spiral that is hard to get out of, we do need to begin putting people back to work. And I'll add one thing that Stephen didn't add, but that's true. If we have a grocery clerk or a fast food employee who's essential, who's working, and we believe they can work safely, then the design engineer or the person on the line producing parts for automobile absolutely can be put back to work. The only question is, how many people can we put back to work and not swamp the healthcare system? That's the test that in the next few days or weeks, the president with scientists has to come up with nationally, and then quite candidly, governors are going to have to come up with it regionally. But right now, the test is how few can we put in a hospital, so much so that we're laying off hospital workers because of empty beds. And that's not the right test. The right test is how much productivity can we have and still have the health care that minimizes the loss of life.
Thank you. Congressman, if I can walk into a pet store, I can walk into a sneaker store. We just have to do it in an organized way. We're getting schooled on it. There's nothing wrong with Wisconsin voting yesterday. We spaced out, cleaned the machines. National Guard is there. We did it on special circumstances. We can't just sit in our house for months on end. There's got to be an in-between. And what happened along the way is lives are withering in the process. Even if we're healthy, economically, we're falling apart. Mentally, emotionally, there's going to be a collapse. So that has to be factored in along with the scientists. And I just hope that second task force comes together as the president does what his instinct tells him to do, and that stand this country up again.
Well, the president's leadership, first in stopping the spread of this disease much earlier than Nancy Pelosi or Mayor de Blasio or plenty of other people were willing to do because they were fighting him in the early days. But at the same time, now that we've got a handle on it, as we do what we must do to keep America safe and healthy, putting us back to work is equally important, and we're very fortunate that we have a president in the White House who knows how to find business people and direct them toward it. Nobody has been better at getting on the phone and talking to corporate leaders and getting things done than this president, because nobody knows them better than this president, at least not in my lifetime. And as far as I can tell, we've never had a businessman of this level in the White House.
Lastly, well, how's your campaign going? And do you have any second thoughts about getting back into the fray? Did you miss it that much? Or is this just an opportunity that was too important to miss up?
I wanted us not to lose this seat. It's a conservative seat. As you know, I was waiting for a position in the administration, and your senator, Senator Menendez, blocked it. And it just looked at like it was the right thing to do to stay in the fight. It's sort of interesting. I'd like to, for the New Jerseyans, thank Senator Menendez, because if he had not blocked me, I would be in Africa trying to bring water and electricity to the developing world instead of being on my way back to Congress. But in all seriousness, The campaign is effectively over. I'm not going to campaign in any real way in the days and weeks and months ahead. I'm going to act like the congressman who currently it's a vacant seat and try to help my constituents and let the voters decide. I think after 18 years of public service, you know, if they don't know me, I'm not going to spend a lot of time introducing myself. I think I'm just going to do the job. And that's what I think they expect me to do in East County and North County, San Diego.
Yeah, Duncan Hunter had legal problems, and his dad had the seat before that. And then you're right there. Congressman Darrell Issa, we'll continue to check in because you got this wide
Thank
swath
you.
Of knowledge and experience we have to tap into, if that's okay.
My pleasure, and it's an honor, and thank you for doing on radio what there isn't time to do on those sound bites on television, and I think your listeners are better informed for it.
Thanks a lot, Congressman. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
1-866, you got it. 1-866-408-7669. We come back, we'll open up the phones and get some final thoughts and find out if you indeed need to know more.
Educating, entertaining, enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
It is shocking that your home can be stolen this easily. Let me share a true story. Deborah learned that brutal lesson when thieves found the title to her home online. Then they forged the documents to appear she sold her home, but she hadn't. Then they borrowed thousands using her home's equity. Deborah didn't know she was a victim until foreclosure notices arrived and an eviction notice followed. She spent her fortune trying to get her home back. The crime is home title fraud, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. The best advice for avoiding a title fraud nightmare is to protect your home with Home Title Lock. And no, neither your homeowner's insurance nor bank protects you. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock does. So first things first, find out if you're already a victim of home title fraud. Register your home at HomeTitleLock.com and enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection. Again, enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Bonus track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing.
It appears Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters is taking this pandemic pause to relive some old memories. In the latest addition to his Dave's True Stories Instagram account, Grohl shared how he once met Prince backstage and was invited to perform, with Prince asking him, "How about next Friday?" The Foo Fighters lead singer wrote, "It was Prince, and he was asking me to jam. It was a proposition that I had wished for my entire life, but never in my wildest dreams imagined possible." Grohl explained he showed up to an empty designated venue when Prince appeared and asked him to play drums. They jammed with not a soul in sight to witness it. Then Prince suggested they jam with Led Zeppelin's Whole Lotta Love, and Prince smiled and said, "We should do that." "Yes, Prince, we should do that," said Grohl. "How about next Friday?" Well, the second jam never happened, but the first one, Dave Grohl says, is a memory that will stay with him forever. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. We live in a time where every cough is cause for worry. But people cough for all kinds of reasons having nothing to do with the coronavirus. And now that we're in allergy season, many people are dealing with coughs and runny noses because of hay fever or other allergies. So how can you tell the difference between a cough from an allergy and a symptom of the virus? Allergists say you shouldn't be alarmed if your only symptom is a cough. They say you should be on the lookout for other symptoms of COVID-19, including fever, body aches, and a loss of your sense. sense of smell. Those symptoms are not seen with allergies. Also, think about how allergies affected you in previous years. If you've coughed a lot in the past, don't be too worried. However, people with asthma, a chronic lung condition, are considered at high risk of COVID-19 and need to be on guard for worsening symptoms. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Well, I'd love to open with a big bang, one beautiful country, and just open. But it's very possible, you know, there are some areas that are not affected very much, and there are other areas like New York and New Jersey that have a tremendous impact. Louisiana, great state, and it's incredible. They came in late because, you know, they were doing great, and then all of a sudden it just sprung up. You look at parts of Michigan, Detroit has been hit very hard. So there are some places that are hit very hard, and other places have not been hit very hard, frankly. I mean, by comparison, very little. So we're looking at two concepts. We're looking at the concept where you open up sections, and we're also looking at the concept where you open up everything.
The President of the United States last night on with Sean wants to get the economy going. His instinct says that he had this Ferrari, and he was told to put the Ferrari in the garage, and everything else is wasting away around it. And it's just killing them like it's killing all of us. So what's the best way to do it? Incrementally, I think, is the only way. You just can't open it up. It'll just open us up for too much trouble. Unless, of course, hydroxychloroquine ends up being the answer we need. David is in upstate New York. David, you're listening on 96.9. What's on your mind? David, how should we do this thing? Hey, let's go to Barb. Hey, Barb, you're on the line.
Yes, hi.
Real quick, well, how do we stand this economy up again?
Well, I'm really not sure about that. With being in upstate New York, we are on the incline on all of the cases and deaths. You know, it's just starting to get up here right now. I'm concerned about the businesses that were deemed essential back in March.
Yes.
My company where I work is included in that, but we have little to no work now. We have no materials coming in. We have little to nothing to do. And with the incidences increasing around us, I mean, they went from pretty much nothing to over 2,000 cases, 75 deaths in our surrounding area. I would rather stay home, but I was told, well, if I don't want to work, then, you know, they'll replace me, which I didn't think was very fair given the circumstances. I myself like my job. I want to work. But given the circumstances, a lot of these businesses now, with all of our customers being closed down and our providers, some of us are at half, you know, we have no work. But are we still considered an essential business? Will they start relooking at that, reevaluating increasing?
Right. Thanks, Barb. My hope is the material starts flowing in and we start putting these businesses up again. You heard what Darrell Issa said. Right now, if you make machine parts, you're not essential. You will be when cars, because repair shops are open, run out of parts. This is going to expand gradually anyway. Let's find out if there's more to know.
More to know.
The NBA doesn't know if it's going to start their season again, but they're working with ESPN on televising a horse competition, you know, where you shoot from different spots. We'll see how that goes. Next, Dana White securing private island flights for weekly MMA fights during the COVID-19 crisis that we're in. He told TMZ that he's got a private island. He's got the fighters. He's going to test them. We're going to have live sports again. Thank you so much, Dana White. Also, New Zealand has demoted its health minister after breaking lockdown rules. They're doing great, by the way, in this. Health Minister David Clark demoted after driving his family 20 kilometers to a beach to go for a walk the first weekend of the lockdown. Quote, at a time we asked New Zealanders to make historic sacrifices, I've let the team down. I'm an idiot. Clark, owning up to his mistake, will take the demotion. But we understand we've all been there. I personally not offended. Congratulations, New Zealand. You've turned it around the quickest, I believe. Brian Kilmeade Show. Stay safe.
It is shocking that your home can be stolen this easily. Let me share a true story. Deborah learned that brutal lesson when thieves found the title to her home online. Then they forged the documents to appear she sold her home, but she hadn't. Then they borrowed thousands using her home's equity. Deborah didn't know she was a victim until foreclosure notices arrived and an eviction notice followed. She spent her fortune trying to get her home back. The crime is home title fraud, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. The best advice for avoiding a title fraud nightmare is to protect your home with Home Title Lock. And no, neither your homeowner's insurance nor bank protects you. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock does. So first things first, find out if you're already a victim of home title fraud. Register your home at HomeTitleLock.com and enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection. Again, enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1981.
President Jimmy Carter.
We have now reached an agreement with Iran which will result in the freedom of our American hostages.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
As of now, I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the Vice President.
I have been in labor negotiations for 25 years. The only people that ever win from a strike are the lawyers.
Charles Philip Arthur George, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
MTV is just videos with music.
As a judge, it is not my function to continue to try to develop public policy by means of making the law.
News as it happens then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. As hospitalizations go down, New York continues to flatten the coronavirus curve. Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to make sure any talk of reopening includes public health considerations.
Cuomo says the strict measures being taken are showing results.
The curve of the increase is continuing to flatten.
He says you can't ask people to choose between lives lost and dollars gained.
If no one sounded the alarm in January and February, how do we know that it's safe to proceed now?
He adds the decision to reopen should not be political. Speaking of which, Cuomo says while he's flattered people want him to run for president.
I'm not running for president. I'm not running for vice president.
He says he's staying right here. Julie Walker, New York.
Puerto Rico will remain on lockdown until May 3rd to curb the coronavirus cases. That marks one of the strictest measures taken in a U.S. jurisdiction. Governor Wanda Vasquez said non-essential businesses will remain closed, and people have to remain indoors from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. They can only leave during those hours to buy food, medicine, or go to the bank. The airlines got some disappointing news from the Trump administration.
Over the airlines' objections, the administration is proposing that a big portion of the federal aid designed to cover airlines' payrolls this year will come in the form of loans, not cash. Airlines had been expecting to share some $25 billion in cash grants that Congress approved to help them keep their employees on the job for the next 6 months. But Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says he wants the airlines to pay back some of that money. Airlines say they need cash to avoid massive layoffs because the coronavirus outbreak has wiped out most travel. Biden reporting.
Joe Biden won the Alaska Democrats' party-run presidential primary, beating Bernie Sanders days after the senator suspended his campaign. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking Relief Factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable. To be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
Health officials in Belgium declare chocolate factories essential businesses. Correspondent Zara Shackley explains.
Despite being able to stay open, sales are still down from previous years, with the coronavirus crisis happening during the peak season. Head of the Royal Belgian Association of the Chocolate, Pralines, Biscuit and Confectionery said Easter usually represents 15 to 25% of the yearly income for those in the chocolate industry, but this year that percentage is likely to be far lower. Dominique Persoon, a chocolate shop owner in Brugge, said he's worried about what the future will hold.
Thanks God I have a lot of locals who are shopping in my place, but I'm afraid if it doesn't get tourists anymore, it will be a disaster, even in the future.
I'm Zaria Shakili.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Have you made summer camp plans for your kids? Some families are already getting bad news.
The most are in a wait-and-see mode as parents who rely on camp for child care and child fun try not to panic. Summer camps are monitoring the pandemic's progress as they crunch the numbers on potential mass refunds. Some parents have held off putting money down, and many camps have extended deadlines for enrollment. But even if the camps are allowed to open, will parents feel comfortable that the coronavirus threat has lessened enough to make camp safe? Patrick Foss reporting.
A collection of charities and community volunteers have taken to the streets of Washington, D.C., distributing more than 1,000 bags of groceries every day on street corners and parking lots. Southeast Washington was already a food desert, with residents experiencing chronic nutritional and health issues even before the COVID-19 pandemic locked down the nation's capital. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
News Radio Studios in New York City. Fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor right now. He's going to look for another $100 to $200 billion to add to the small business fund. That's $350 billion, but they already spent $100 billion of it. But as it floats through the Senate, it's going to hit a roadblock in the House. We'll discuss that. Also, Anthony Fauci yesterday comes out and says, no more shaking hands. I think we're done with that. I'm not quite sure I'm willing to give up the handshake. For now, for sure. Before I get to Chris Wallace, I got to say Tiki Barber's going to be with us in 45 minutes, talking a little sports, the way forward. The NFL says we're playing in the fall. College football says we might play in the spring. Wow. And there's going to be a UFC fight in 2 weeks on an island. Okay, that'll be interesting. And they're supposed to golf again in June. They might play triple headers in Arizona with all baseball and no fans. Odd times here in Pandemic Thursday. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
I have concluded that this battle for the Democratic nomination will not be successful. I will stay on the ballot in all remaining states and continue to gather delegates.
Wow, Bernie Sanders out.
kinda. Joe Biden is the nominee, but holds on to his delegates, says Bernie Sanders, for socialist leverage. Now all eyes on President Obama as he may come off the sidelines to, I think, virtually run for president against Trump, and President Trump cannot wait.
Number two.
The big problem with this program is the unemployment program is competing with a loan program, and it's hard for the small business to keep their employees on the payroll. If we don't fix that, we're never going to get this right.
Helping Americans, are the programs, and is the money getting to the people in the small business sector? We will look at all the hurdles that have to be cleared still to relieve pressure on the millions who find themselves in economic distress.
Number one.
Seeing signs that our aggressive strategy to slow the spread is working. The number of new cases is stabilizing. The numbers are changing, and they're changing rapidly, and soon we'll be over that curve. We'll be over that top, and we'll be headed in the right direction.
Good news. New York and New Jersey are flattening the curve, while Washington and Oregon are coming back strong. We'll look at the numbers, the models, the challenges, and the possible comeback. But first.
And now, the Brian Kilmeade Show welcomes back Mr. Sunday, the receptive voice of the king. All that and so much more.
You have misplayed this so badly because okay. We had a wonderful little thing going here.
Yep.
Chris Wallace.
Chris, welcome back. I saw you were scrambled yesterday when Bernie Sanders said, I quit for now. What's your take 24 hours later? And it's always great to see you, although I can only hear you.
Let me just say, and it's good to be back, but I have to point out to all of your listeners, both of them,
right,
that introduction is totally misleading. And when I was talking about the king, the receptive voice, I was not talking about me. And, you know, once again, this is fake news. And you personally are the enemy of the people. But go ahead. Now, Bernie Sanders.
How did I come back off that takedown? Okay. Now, on a lighter note, world politics. We're coming to you from the metro area, which is the epicenter, but we are broadcasting to America, where Bernie Sanders became, for a brief moment, the top story. Are you surprised at the timing? What does it mean?
Well, you know, I think a couple of things. One, you know, he had to look at the numbers. You could say he could have looked at them well before this and said, there's just no path to the nomination. I'm not going to be the Democratic nominee. Two, I think that there was increasing pressure from people in the party. Get out of the race. You know, this... If we're going to beat Donald Trump, we need to spend all of our time, all of our effort, all of the money, all of the ground game in organizing for the general election campaign, not fighting amongst ourselves. And then I also wonder, I haven't heard this from anybody in the Sanders campaign, and yes, he is going to stay on the ballot. If I were he and I were looking at these people who went out to vote in Wisconsin under, you know, pretty tough circumstances, that's a real tribute to them that they're going out to vote separated by 6 feet, wearing masks, waiting for hours. You know, maybe you think to yourself, I'm not sure I want to put some of my supporters or some of anybody's supporters through that. So he's going to stay on the ballot, try to amass some delegates, have a role at the convention in terms of the platform. But, you know, I just think there were more and more reasons why it didn't make sense to stay in the game.
Right. It looks like President Obama called him a couple of days prior. Maybe that had something to do with it. Here's what Bernie Sanders said last night with Stephen Colbert. Cut 39.
I hope to be able to work with Joe to move him in a more progressive direction. And I think Joe is a good politician. And he understands that in order to defeat the president, that in order to defeat Trump, he's going to have to bring new people into his political world, and that he's going to have to listen to their needs, young people, working people, and maybe start moving in a different direction to some degree than he has in the past.
Welcome. Minimum wage up to $15, $20. Goodbye fracking. Goodbye shale, oil, and gas. He's all about green energy. Medicare for all was his number one thing. So I mean, how do you do that and be somebody that could get moderate Democrats? There's a reason why Bernie failed.
I was going to say, you're exactly right. It's a very delicate dance that Joe Biden's going to have to be engaged in, and he's going to have to calibrate how far can I go to the left to get Bernie Sanders supporters not just grudgingly, but enthusiastically behind me, giving money, working, supporting me, you know, more than they did for Hillary Clinton in 2016, which was one of the reasons she lost. But on the other hand, not go so far to the left that I turn off the moderates, the independents, the suburban Republican women, whom who he's definitely going to need to beat Donald Trump in the general election. That's a delicate dance. I think some things he's not going to go for Medicare for all. He's not going to go for the Green New Deal. I will say this though: some of the things that Bernie Sanders has been calling for don't seem quite so outrageous now that we're in the coronavirus pandemic. Let me give you an example. One of the things that Bernie Sanders said is, you know, we don't want a system of health care that's totally tied to jobs. Well, that seemed, you know, when we got 150 million Americans who were get their health insurance through their jobs, that seemed like a very debatable point. But now when you've got 17 million people who have lost their jobs in the last 3 weeks, now maybe the idea, you know, lost their jobs and maybe lost their health insurance, the idea of having something, maybe not the Medicare for all, but something that protects people, a backstop, if you lose your job, that you keep health insurance, doesn't seem such a crazy idea. So, you know, I think that there are ways that Biden, if he's a deft politician, and that's an if, will be able to finesse this.
Well, that's a good point, except for I think this also shows the need for private industry. When you see the innovation from biotech, when you see the innovation and dexterity of a GM and a Ford doing what they're doing, and 3M finally got their act together helping out. If these are nationalized industries, which socialists tend to do or overregulate, man, they're not doing that. And they've adjusted. And what the president did, and I salute him on this, the Defense Production Act is the hammer. I hope I don't need it. They have a conversation, and he pretty much didn't need it. He gives it to 3M because they had trouble getting online with it. Now they seem to be on board with it. And soon we're going to have enough. And also, we're watching it all come together quickly. The question I think we're going to have down the line is, who should have known what and prepared for what at what time? And when people keep on, if you watch the other channels, I know you flip around like I do, they do not go 5 minutes without hammering Donald Trump as if he created the virus. But if they're going to do that, they're going to get sound bites back from Anthony Fauci. And even we have Nancy Pelosi saying, let's celebrate Chinese New Year in San Francisco. She got briefed the same way the president did. We have the mayor of New York saying the same thing. And what about the governor, who's been anointed and done a tremendous job in New York? Listen to him on March 2nd, cut 5.
Excuse our arrogance as New Yorkers. I speak for the mayor also on this one. We think we have the best healthcare system on the planet right here in New York. So when you're saying what happened in other countries versus what happened here, we don't even think it's going to be as bad as it was in other countries.
Oops. So well, if we're going to keep looking back like that, I think that's an issue.
I think there are two points that I would make here. One, in terms of private industry, you know, I think that's an argument that you could make, and I agree with you. That, you know, the strength of the capitalist system, the strength of the free enterprise, for-profit system, it always wins, and it always works, certainly better than any other system. Having said that, I think that's an argument that would be made much more effectively against Bernie Sanders, a Democratic socialist, than against Joe Biden. I think that's going to be a hard case to make against Joe Biden, particularly given the fact, for instance, that it was the Obama administration that bailed out General Motors and the auto industry. So, I think that's going to be a hard case to make. In terms of looking back...
Well, it was the Bush administration that started that bailout, and they consulted with the Obama administration to continue it. But I'm not sure what you mean by that, though.
What I mean is that I think it's going to be a hard case to make that Joe Biden doesn't believe in free enterprise. You were saying, you know, that the strength of the free enterprise system, if you start talking about socialism, you know, that's Bernie Sanders, and I think that'd be an effective case to make. I think it's going to be much harder to make the case that Joe Biden is a socialist. He's certainly a liberal, and he's certainly to the left of Donald Trump, but I don't think you can make the case that he's anti-free enterprise. As far as the old, you know, quotes are concerned, I completely agree with you. You know, nobody is pure on this, and there certainly are going to be quotes that people are going to be able to point out. There are things that Donald Trump said about it's the flu and it'll magically go away and things get warm.
Absolutely.
And there are things that everybody else said. And I don't think it matters, because I think that in the end, people will have a sense when this is all over. And we really don't know how it's going to end. Yes, it's terrible right now. And let's not forget, 2,000 fellow Americans are dying every day for about the last 3 days. If we had a hurricane or we had a earthquake, and 2,000 Americans had died total, we'd be calling that an unimaginable disaster. So, you know, let's not forget that. But at the end of this process, and I don't know if it's going to be May 1st or June 1st or September 1st, people, I think, you know, there'll be a debate. Was this well handled or wasn't it well handled? How was the public health crisis handled well or wasn't it? And I think to a very large degree, this election is going to be a coronavirus election now. I mean, it's such a transcendent event that people, and that I don't even know that it'll matter what Joe Biden says. People will either think, you know, okay, he may have said something wrong in the beginning, but Donald Trump handled this well, and it won't matter what he said in the past. Or they'll come to the conclusion, you know what, he didn't handle this well, and it won't matter what he said in the past. Either way, I don't think it's going to matter. People will have a sense when this is over, is Trump the leader we want to take us to another crisis, or isn't he? And I think that's what's going to be the decisive issue in the election.
To me, it's abundantly clear, and I hope we're taping this. Sometimes we don't. The reel-to-reel breaks down. But I believe it's going to be Barack Obama against Donald Trump. I think he's going to be so active like he was in the midterms. And Joe Biden will make the original appearance. Barack Obama will close the show. And in the end, I wouldn't even be surprised him throwing his name out as Secretary of State in order to try to sway the public, because Joe Biden has been terrible for the last year. He's terrible in interviews. He can't get a crowd. When there are crowds back again, it's not as if, you know, it's just a matter of John Kerry or Al Gore and they were equal in size and flipping a coin. I believe that Barack Obama is the Democrats' only chance. And that's what it'll seem like. Barack Obama is actually running for office. And I think that'll become clear soon. But the other thing, my original point to bring up, was if Joe Biden adopts too many of Bernie Sanders' principles to get the Bernie Sanders supporters and ends up labeling himself, so getting labeled himself a socialist, that'll be opening up his solar plexus for Brad Parscale and the Trump team. Lastly, do you have guests yet this week, or is it still a moving target? Bill Gates was awesome last week.
Well, thank you. It was a very interesting show. We had Jerome Robbins, the Surgeon General, talking last week about, you know, this is the Pearl Harbor, this is 9/11, and boy, if that doesn't get your attention. And then Bill Gates, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'd put Bill Gates in charge of the whole thing. I'd make him the coronavirus czar. He's the guy that predicted all of this 5 years ago. And, you know, he's somebody that is not about politics. And, in fact, it was kind of made clear to us, not that I wanted to get into it anyway, he's not going to play partisan politics here. Don't ask him, you know, about what Trump's doing. He just wants to talk about how to fix the problem, which is what I think we all should be concerned about. This week, we think we're going to have another top health official. We know we're going to have a governor, and we're going to have Mark Cuban. And, you know, the big entrepreneur who's got some ideas about how we get the economy going. And the president said something interesting yesterday. He said, you know, I want to see people want to go back to games, and they want to sit in a football game. They want to sit in a basketball game. Of course, Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks, the NBA team. I'm curious to find out from him, when does he think people are going to be willing, I wonder myself, to go into a stadium with 20,000 strangers? Some people are saying that, you know how you have to go through a metal detector to get into a stadium now? That you're going to have your temperature taken.
Yeah.
If you've got your ticket and you've gone out to driven out to the suburbs to go to the Meadowlands or wherever, to FedEx Field for the Redskins, you're going to have your temperature taken to get into the stadium. So these are going to be different times.
Absolutely. And we're up against a break, but he's also someone all over the small business in the stimulus package, because he's got about 200 Shark Tank businesses out there. They're not all well-financed. He's just an investor there. So don't be surprised if you talk a lot about that, too. He's looking to help. He's not looking to attack. That's why he's such a great guest, Chris. Have a great show. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Stay safe.
You got it. Yeah, I will. You too. 1-866-408-7669. Back to your calls in a moment.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
It is shocking that your home can be stolen this easily. Let me share a true story. Deborah learned that brutal lesson when thieves found the title to her home online. Then they forged the documents to appear she sold her home, but she hadn't. Then they borrowed thousands using her home's equity. Deborah didn't know she was a victim until foreclosure notices arrived and an eviction notice followed. She spent her fortune trying to get her home back. The crime is home title fraud, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. The best advice for avoiding a title fraud nightmare is to protect your home with Home Title Lock. And no, neither your homeowner's insurance nor bank protects you. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock does. So first things first, find out if you're already a victim of home title fraud. Register your home at HomeTitleLock.com and enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection. Again, enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A determined runner from England who completed a half marathon from his quarantined home makes today's Dean's List. 27-year-old Sam Hustler completed the 13-mile trek by completing 5,000 laps on the balcony of his apartment. Sam had been training to run in the London Landmarks Half Marathon, but because of the government-imposed restrictions on public gatherings, the race was canceled. Sam says this is going to be his first ever half marathon, and he was excited to do it and devastated when it was canceled. But he says he had put so much training in, and it was such a great cause that he still wanted to do it any way that he could. Sam says he was inspired by a video of a man in Italy who ran a full marathon on his balcony, so he thought he could do the half marathon on his. He says it was boring, but he knew he could do it. Well done, Sam, and well run. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Three developments that could change our thinking about the coronavirus. The first has to do with ventilators that are in such high demand at hospitals. Some doctors in New York say they're trying to keep very sick patients off of ventilators for as long as possible and use less invasive techniques to make sure the patient has enough oxygen. There's no firm evidence, but some experts suspect that in some cases, the ventilator could make things worse, perhaps by increasing a dangerous response by the patient's immune system. The second development is about warm weather and the hope that the virus spread will die down in the summer. Some members of the National Academy of Sciences say, so far, the evidence just isn't there. And finally, a new study says smoking could make it easier for the coronavirus to enter the lungs and do its dirty work. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
President Franklin D. Roosevelt asked Congress to declare war on Japan the day after the attack on Pearl Harbor. The date, December 8, 1941.
Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome back, everybody. Mitch McConnell has just spoken on the Senate floor. His request is not for $200 billion for the SBA loans. He wants, for small business, $600 billion.
Wow.
And the House, of course, is going to weigh in. They're going to want to up that number. I want it, too. I just hope we can afford it or at least get close. Phil, you're listening on KGRS in Midland, Texas. Hey, Phil.
Brian. My hours were cut at my job because of this situation. I can't go to unemployment and make more money. So my hope was I was going to get my $1,200. But in my case, since I owe taxes in 2018, my banking information was not put on my return. I went to the IRS because you can't call anybody now because nobody's there. And they say there's going to be a web portal for you to upload your information. But they're acting like that's not a big problem. And if you look at some of the information they have, they're talking about in June people who don't have their information and they're going to get a paper check, which is kind of stupid to send a paper check with all the fraud going on. And to me, this is unbelievable. The IRS should have been ready for this situation since they were talking about this bill for weeks.
Yeah, direct deposit is going to go in a week earlier. It's a week later because Nancy Pelosi held on to it. The paper checks are going to be about 4 to 6 weeks. But I don't think that should matter. That's very frustrating to me. Sorry you're going through that. What I'm going to try to do is get Kevin Brady and Rubio here to answer these questions, and we put in a request for Mnuchin. So keep listening to the show and put that in writing if you could. So I'll read it out loud to him. Brian Kilmeade Show.
With coronavirus still spreading, people at higher risk must take extra precautions. You're at higher risk if you are over 65 or if you have any serious underlying medical conditions like heart disease, chronic lung disease, diabetes, or if your immune system is compromised for any reason. If you're at higher risk, wash your hands frequently with soap and water for 20 seconds. Avoid touching your face. Disinfect frequently touched objects. And wash up after being in public spaces. And when it comes to social situations, less is better. Stay 6 feet or 2 arm lengths away from other people. Better still, stay home if you can. If you're sick, please stay home and away from others. And if you think you've been exposed to the virus, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. In challenging times, the choices you make are critical. Please visit coronavirus.gov for more information. As the nation's doctor, I often get asked, what should I do if I think I might have coronavirus?
People who are sick should stay home. You don't go to an emergency room. You don't go to a clinic. Get on the phone and you ask for advice and instructions from your physician.
We don't want you to go into the ER or the doctor's office without talking to them first because you might spread coronavirus to someone else. Please visit coronavirus.gov for more information.
From the health of every American to the health of your portfolio, Fox Business brings you complete coronavirus coverage. As markets continue to react with extreme volatility, Fox Business shows you how to navigate the turmoil with instant analysis to help you make your next move. Plus, breaking reports from Washington to Main Street, keeping you on top of every development as it happens. Turn to Fox Business for the continuing coronavirus coverage every investor needs.
One century ago, the world experienced its deadliest pandemic when the Spanish flu of 1918 infected nations around the world, killing millions. In the decades since, other influenzas have swept the world, taking the lives of millions more, but none
have been quite like this.
The coronavirus, now a global pandemic.
Broadway will be shut down. The NBA is suspending gameplay.
Wall Street briefly suspending trading today.
It has impacted Hollywood. It has impacted Capitol Hill.
This is like no other.
Now, go inside the lives of people living in quarantine.
You haven't seen each other in 10 days.
And learn how you can stay safe from the virus.
We still have a long way to go. There will be many more cases, but we'll take care of that.
Fox Nation brings you three new specials diving into the world of pandemics, past, present, and future. Don't miss Five Flus, Pandemics and Epidemics 101, and Quarantined, available now only on Fox Nation.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Mahalia Jackson, who died in 1972, is widely regarded as the first queen of gospel music. Although she was a heralded and much-loved performer, she lived a double life in racially divided America.
When I'm on the stage and on television and working with white people, they just hug me and love me and say I'm so wonderful and I'm so great. And then when I'm walking down the street like an ordinary citizen, they don't recognize me, and when I go into the department store in the South, I can't get a sandwich, I can't get a bottle of pop, I got to stay, I can't even get a cab, and I'm just the Mahalia Jackson that they got through saying how wonderful I am. What? I don't understand it. What makes people act like that?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Saving you money. I'm Linda Bell with the Fox Business Network. If coronavirus has your finances in turmoil, Howard Dvorkin, chairman of Debt.com, has suggestions how to save money. He says start by looking at your subscriptions.
The Disney Plus, all the video, the Hulu, and cut those down to the basics or eliminate them completely and ask for a prorated amount back.
Reduce the monthly premium on your homeowner's insurance by increasing the deductible. And if you live in the South, Dvorkin says lowering your air conditioner can help. And if you're in the North,
make it a little chillier. I know people are staying at home. Bundle up a little bit. Try to save on your utility.
Try asking for a deferral on your mortgage.
You can call up and ask if you can defer that payment that is due or a couple payments that are due. Also, the same holds true for your credit card.
If you lost your job, he says you may want to consider moving to a recession-proof industry.
Like medicine or law enforcement or even senior care.
Saving you money. I'm Linda Bell, Fox News.
You want truth, you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
But it also means we need more funding, and we need it fast. Soon I will ask unanimous consent to increase the funding for the Paycheck Protection Program to a new total of $600 billion. I'm not talking about changing any policy language that both sides have already negotiated together several weeks ago. I'm literally talking about deleting the number 350 and writing 600 in its place.
So 600 in its place. So 600 in addition. So wow. So 600 in addition. Right, it sounds like it's going to be actually 300 if that's indeed the case. So that right now $100 billion's been spent. I get it. Those loans have been out, and people have been frustrated in getting them in many cases. But, you know, on a national program like this being rolled out in a matter of weeks in a crisis, if there wasn't hiccups, I'd be stunned. It would be the first time in the history of man. But when you're a gig worker, it's not clear. If you have your own small business, whether you're a plumber or a consultant, and you have an employee of one, you, how does that affect you? What are you going to be eligible for? You just heard the challenge that we just have from a caller. Caller said, listen, I owe taxes last year. I had a problem filing, so I owe taxes, and now I'm not going to be able to get direct deposit, or you change banks. You're no longer with the bank that you got direct deposit when last year, so you got to wait for a paper check, which will be an additional month. These are all hurdles that got to be cleared. I'm not convinced they really thoroughly address the needs of small business, because small business has to take 75% of their grant/loan money and pay that to payroll. That's the what's left. For the most part, it's not going to pay for the rent, the overhead, the lighting, the leases on equipment if you own a health club. So a lot of this stuff can be adjusted inside of it. I hope they're nimble at the granular level, on the ground level with the banks to actually pull that off. 1-866-408-7669. We'll talk a little sports with Tiki Barber, who's got his own sports show, the finest running back in Giant history. We know that. We'll talk to him about that. I also want to take your calls and go through your emails. Gordon is listening in Plant City, Florida, WLKF. Hey, Gordon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Look, I love the president, and I believe that we should continue to do social distancing, but I think that President Trump was wrong when he criticized the Sweden herd immunity model, which is working. They're not doing anything with lockdowns. They're kind of an odd nation as far as being an outlier, but their method is working, and it's working well. Okay?
Yeah, so and I'm not sure, Gordon. I might have missed it. Let me stop you there for a second. I might have missed it. I did not know he criticized Sweden. Because Sweden said, we're going to take those most vulnerable, medically compromised or seniors, and we'll maybe put them, ask them to stand in place, but we'll let the economy keep going. And so far, they're doing okay. Denmark seems to be back to work. Germany's getting back to work. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is I emailed you an article in which it said that President Trump criticized Sweden. I don't know if it's true, but in that article, I also supported President Trump's request for spending cuts, and I tried mentioning this the last time, but I was on my bad telephone. He requested spending cuts, almost $2 trillion of our national debt is college debt. And I'd like to know why you haven't supported the president on his spending cuts request. We cannot afford to address our national emergencies because we have pork barrel spending in higher education, and the money's not helping students because the tuition goes up when they can borrow more. It hurts the taxpayer and it hurts the student, and President Trump is not being given the support that he needs from his GOP lawmakers.
Absolutely, Gordon. We're at a pandemic now. I'm not really focused on higher education, but it should be figured in there. Student debt is part of the agenda for the Democrats. I think it's one of the top agendas for those who get elected next, and the plan right now, that you go to a private school, if it's NYU, if it's American, if it's Syracuse, you're spending $70,000. $70,000. Because you have parent loans, student loans, grants increase, but then they keep upping up the tuition. John, listening in Galveston, Texas. Hey, John.
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
What's on your mind?
You had a great interview with Chris Wallace. I really enjoyed listening to talk to him about the nuance. And one of the things, your number three issue today being Bernie Sanders and how maybe Trump can pull some of those voters away from Biden. And that it hits me that Trump needs to continue to investigate how the Chinese really got this COVID virus going. I think that needs to be understood, and I think that the Bernie Sanders voters will be really angry at Biden and the way he's been sucking up to China.
Yeah. And so that 2016 quote that's on Twitter right now, that Joe Biden says, China's growth is good for the United States. Really? Okay. Here's the president on Bernie in a message to Bernie Sanders supporters, cut 43.
But with Bernie, I saw his standard fare today, I watched. And I hope that a lot of Bernie Sanders people, just like they did last time, we got a tremendous percentage of Bernie people. And I think they voted for me largely because of trade, because Bernie and I agree on trade.
Maybe. I think that's part of it. A couple of emails are in. I'm getting nervous, says Dawn. I'm getting nervous about the talk of testing people and clearing those who are resolved to go back to work. Most of us haven't had it, as far as we know. That's the purpose of the mitigation, to keep people from getting it. So what about those of us with no antibodies? Do we actually stay home perpetually? Some of us are willing to work regardless of any risk with hand washing, common sense behaviors, and good space cleaning protocols. I hear it. I hear you. That's where I think we're heading. But I think we're going to phase it in, Dawn. I really do. Also, Marie writes me and says, hydroxychloroquine says, are there any reports of the effect of this therapeutic use of hydroxychloroquine on CV19? I've been taking 200 milligrams of it daily for years as treatment for arthritis. It would be awesome to learn that I am immune. Well, the fact that you don't have it, Marie, is proving the point that Dr. Oz and I are looking into, that if you take it for other things like lupus or this and you don't have it, is it just a coincidence or is it a preventative? We might be able to find that out very soon. ShareCare did a study on their subscribers, and it turns out nobody who took this drug tested positive for COVID-19. Let's go to Donna, who's on MNC in Indiana. Hey, Donna.
Hello.
Just on your mind, Donna.
Well, a lot of things. First of all, I think President Trump needs to get a completely different medical team. Fauci and Birx are both liberal Democrats. Their spouses worked for Obama administration and the Clinton administration, and they are trying to prolong this because of, you know, he talked about flattening the curve, but you know what that does? It extends the curve way out. And I just read an article this morning by Dr. Witkowski, and he's a head of department of, he's an epidemiologist, and he said, you've got to have these people just go out and live regular lives, and the vulnerable ones can be quarantined, and it'll shorten the curve. You've got to, you know, it's a herd immunity.
Do a Sweden deal.
You know, and Trump is talking against herd immunity, and that's what works. You know, and I'm sorry, but Bill Gates is not the qualified person. He wants a national lockdown and you know, shutdown. We can't. And I think Dr. Birx
no, is... No, what Bill Gates said, he would have done all 50 right away. But if you read that, look at the TED Talk in 2015. I think it's pretty insightful. We'll be ready for it next time. I think we're coming out of this soon. I do. When they flattened in Washington, they flattened in Oregon. Those are the first two. They're doing great in California. They sent out their respirators, their ventilators, excuse me. In New York, they've had 4 days of hospitalization decreases. New Jersey as well. When they get hold of Long Island, which will be shortly, I believe that this is going to lead towards us incrementally going back to work. Susan writes me and says, many airline pilots, attendants are losing their jobs with no flying public. Please remember, they're highly trained, $100,000 to $200,000 to obtain skills. Not a lot of alternative jobs to feed and house young families once these jobs are lost. I pray that flying public will return sooner than later. It might be a little lagged. It might be lagged a little bit. But if we go out there and we start cleaning the planes, maybe invest in some deep cleaning on these planes. You get people on, and people realize part of their business, it's summertime, they want to go on vacation. Some of those vacation packages will never be as attractive as they are right now. I think the public will get back on board. It just might be slower than other industries. Last call, Debbie, listen on WABC in New York. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, Brian. Just a quick question. I wanted to know why you didn't ask Chris Wallace on his thoughts about Bill Gates and this idea of putting a tracking system in these vaccines that they want to give to all of us. Like, that's really taking away our civil rights as humans in our country. And I was just
kind of I thought about that, but this whole thing, you know, for example, having drones fly over us and then make sure that we're not playing pickup basketball or not having parties. I'm not thrilled with that. I'm not thrilled with tracking, but I know that South Korea got on top of their situation along with Taiwan by tracking all their cases. They're able to squelch it and knock it right out of the park using technology. So there's got to be a sunset on some of it, Debbie. I think you look at people and what they intend to do. I don't think they want to follow Debbie in New York. I think they want to find out if Debbie's positive, who you came in contact with, to stop the spread. So if they could sunset the tracking, I'm for it, because if they can use technology to stop this, I'm even more for that. But I understand your concern about privacy. When we come back, what's with our sports world? We know about Dana White says, I'm going to have a UFC fight in an island. I rented it and taken it, and I'm going to have private flights bringing you there. Next, we have Arizona, maybe Major League Baseball to get underway. NBA is going to make a decision in May. And then we have golf for a major tournament coming up in June. And everything else is rescheduled through the summer. What do you think? Would you go? Let's Tiki Barber that, along with the NFL draft and this college football moving to the spring. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Educating, entertaining, enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
It is shocking that your home can be stolen this easily. Let me share a true story. Deborah learned that brutal lesson when thieves found the title to her home online. Then they forged the documents to appear she sold her home, but she hadn't. Then they borrowed thousands using her home's equity. Deborah didn't know she was a victim until foreclosure notices arrived and an eviction notice followed. She spent her fortune trying to get her home back. The crime is home title fraud, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. The best advice for avoiding a title fraud nightmare is to protect your home with Home Title Lock. And no, neither your homeowner's insurance nor bank protects you. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock does. So first things first, find out if you're already a victim of home title fraud. Register your home at HomeTitleLock.com and enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection. Again, enter SAVE for 1 month of free protection at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
1 century ago, the world experienced its deadliest pandemic when the Spanish flu of 1918 infected nations around the world, killing millions. In the decades since, other influenzas have swept the world, taking the lives of millions more. But none have been quite like this.
The coronavirus, now a global pandemic.
Broadway will be shut down. The NBA is suspending gameplay.
Wall Street briefly suspending trading today.
It has impacted Hollywood. It has impacted Capitol Hill.
This is like no other.
Now, go inside the lives of people living in quarantine.
You haven't seen each other in 10 days.
And learn how you can stay safe from the virus.
We still have a long way to go. There will be many more cases, but we'll take care of that.
Fox Nation brings you 3 new specials, diving into the world of pandemics, past, present, and future. Don't miss 5 Flus, Pandemics and Epidemics 101, and Quarantined. Available now, only on Fox Nation.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
From the health of every American to the health of your portfolio, Fox Business brings you complete coronavirus coverage. As markets continue to react with extreme volatility, Fox Business shows you how to navigate the turmoil with instant analysis to help you make your next move. Plus, breaking reports from Washington to Main Street, keeping you on top of every development as it happens. Turn to Fox Business for the continuing coronavirus coverage every investor needs.
Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a patriot for life?
No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different. And there's ways for me to grow and evolve in a different way that I haven't had the opportunity to do that aren't right or wrong, that's just right for me.
Tom Brady with a big interview with Howard Stern yesterday. For the first, as far as I know, the first time he's really talking since going at the age of 42 from the New England Patriots over the Tampa Bay. And it's the only thing in sports going on. It's free agency in football and preparing for the draft. There's nothing else except, as I mentioned, axe throwing to look at on these sports channels. That's why I feel for Tiki Barber. He's the outstanding running back turned outstanding talk show host on all sports radio for CBS, who also has his own company to worry about. Tiki Barber, welcome back to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
How you doing, Brian? Good to chat with you, my friend. Hope you're staying safe and sane, more importantly.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't envy you. At least I get to talk about this. You're sitting there, you got to talk sports all day. You have nothing to talk about.
We try to talk sports all day. We got it. You know what? We've been fortunate because we get coaches like Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State who's saying, yeah, we're going to be back in, by May 1st, and we're going to test everybody. And so we get to go off on the ridiculousness of some coaches thinking they need to get back on the field sooner rather than later and put their kids at risk. You know, we got 18, 19-year-old kids. You know, if they get sick, they'll recover. They might recover or they might not. So we end up talking about things like that, you know,
yeah.
the movement of this of the sporting calendars and what potentially – when we could potentially see sports come back. But it's you're right. It's slim pickings for live sports. And you talk about axe throwing. I find myself watching Willow and cricket. It's old games, but it's cricket.
Really?
I think I'm watching something new because I've never seen it. So I'm watching cricket on Willow for lack of anything else to watch right now.
Well, I know. I mean, I'm like people like tweeting about the 1996 NBA Finals. I'm thinking to myself, do you know it's over?
But exactly. Tiki, you know what happened, by the way. All you got to do is Google it.
Yeah. So listen, I know you. Before I get to your comment on football, you got your own business. You've always been multifaceted. You're co-founder of Thuzio, and it's definitely affected your business. And I'm just wondering. I mean, have you looked into any of this rescue funding that they have out there to get you through? I know it's. Go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, to your point, Thuzio. Which is a live sports event company. We do live and unfiltered events with some of the great legends of sport, Lawrence Taylor, Eric Dickerson, whoever it may be, across the country in 8 to 10 markets or so. And obviously, given this pandemic, you can't have gatherings of more than 5 people. Really, you shouldn't have gatherings at all at this point. And so we've been forced to introduce a new product, and it's actually a great one. It's a virtual appearance product where we make our network of athletes available to companies who are having webinars or virtual meetings, and you give some sort of inspirational talk on perseverance or performance or reward,
nice.
and hopefully it applies to whatever this business meeting is about. I did a test with it, and it was fantastic and well received, and we started to sell a lot of them because people need interaction and they want something unique, and we're providing that right now. You got to adapt in this time. Everything is online. I mean, I do my radio show from my office at home. I'm sure you're doing the same thing at times. It's necessary in this uncertain time.
And just before I turn, so Thuzio.com is where I go if I want to try to book one of your people?
Absolutely. Go to Thuzio.com. You'll find everything you need there.
All right. So Tom Brady went with Howard Stern yesterday. Are you buying that? It's no bitterness about not being a Patriot for life?
Yeah, I don't think it is bitterness. I think Tom came to a point in his career where he wanted to do it differently. He wanted to have some fun. He wanted to not be so buttoned up and control every word that he says. We've had certain Patriots on our show throughout the years, and they're great leading up to the interview, like before we tape it, and then right when they get on air, they button up and they're like, yeah, we're just focused on next week. It's like they don't want to make a headline. And clearly, by going on Howard Stern and digging into his life, I mean, he's talking about his relationship with Bridget Moynihan and how she got pregnant, and he was, he was in this relationship with Giselle and the complications, like this deep dive that we have never heard. I think some people have known about it behind the scenes, but he opened up in a way that we've never seen him, and it was awesome because we saw some fallibilities and some vulnerabilities in him. But I think he wants to have some fun and live life a little bit in his last couple of years. And being down in Tampa, where my brother is and where Bruce Arians is, and they have these great wide receivers down there. I think he's going to have a great time, even if it's not necessarily the same, chance to win a championship like he had every year for the last 20 years in New England.
At him at 32, how much is left at 42?
Well, it doesn't matter really, Brian, because there's so much surrounding him. We saw this with Peyton Manning. Remember when he left because of his neck injury and ultimately ended up in Denver? He was able to win a championship, and he was clearly physically compromised. But so for Tom in Tampa, it's more about the leadership that he's going to bring, like the influence that he's going to put into that locker room that's going to help everybody else rise to a different level. I think that's what the Buccaneers were looking for. And as my brother told me, how many times over the last 15 years, how many times have you gone into the season caring about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Well, right now you care about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So even if that was the only thing you get, it was worth it.
Hey, Teague, we got to have you back because whether I'm home or in studio, there's a heartbreak and there's a heartbreak. It's to find the same way. Thanks so much. ClickEnthusio.com. The virtual motivational talk. Thanks so much, Teague. Appreciate it.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, addresses the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt that, on March 26, 1979, led to a negotiated peace between the two nations, the first between Israel and any of its Arab neighbors.
The countrysides of both lands are free from the litter and the carnage of a wasteful war. Mothers in Egypt and Israel are not weeping today for their children fallen in senseless battle. The dedication and determination of these two world statesmen have borne fruit. Peace has come to Israel and to Egypt.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.